Welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy, F indeed. 866-901-ADAM. Get it on. How say you? Time to take some phone calls. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Hello.
Well, let's see. Over the weekend, what the hell did I do? Did a little dancing on a Saturday. And and then went over to Steve Gutenberg's house for a little barbecue. And the reason I bring that up is because Dan on line three saw Diner, one of the better comedies ever to come down the pike. And we've talked about this many times, this thing where you decide, and when I say you, I mean all of you, and I include myself in that. You decide, I don't want to see this movie. Maybe the movie came before your time, or maybe it came out when you had money and were an adult. You just decided, I don't want to see this movie. And then somebody tells you, somebody who possibly smarter than you, somebody you trust, somebody who you seem to have a lot of common, in or with, or whoever I said it, and they say, hey, see this movie. And you think, no, not enough. I already decided based on nothing.
There are a lot of hurt feelings because you advised Dr. Drew on many occasions to see The Shining, and he patently refused.
Well, worse yet, my semi-retarded carpenter buddy, Gary, who does nothing but watch the same crappy action movies over and over again, had never seen Road Warrior. Oh. And I had told him, Mel Gibson's Road Warrior, one of the best, just sort of flat-out action whatever movies ever. I don't even know what genre to put it in. Action, sci-fi, apocalyptic, whatever. Just, if you like cars and chases and things blowing up and good story and good acting, it's one of the best. And I kept telling him to see it. And a year would go by, and eventually, more than a year, years would go by. He would frequently go out and rent movies. Right. And I'd say, just pick up Road Warrior. And then my worst nightmare came true. He went out to go get, finally, after browbeating for 2 years, he went out and got to go get Road Warrior, and the person behind the counter said, well, we don't have Road Warrior, but we have Mad Max.
Yeah.
That was the first Road Warrior. Here you go. And gave him that. And Mad Max stinks. It's slow. It's plodding. It's boring. It's low budget.
Low budget.
It's horrible.
It's the worst thing about
it's one of the only examples I can think of where the sequel is five times as good as the first one. So he then watches Mad Max and then reports back to me. Boring, plotting, low budget, not good. And I said, Gary, that is not Road Warrior. That is Mad Max. He said, Adam, look, I've done what I could do. I said, Gary, just go see Road. And then he gave me this one. People have different tastes, Adam, and I'm off the clock. I'm not your employee all the time. And it's one of these things where it's like, I just wanted to strangle him for not
right.
watching a movie. And again,
flash forward to Adam in a padded cell with a straitjacket.
Road Warrior. And here's the thing. I don't own money in Paramount or UA or whoever the hell distributed them. There's nothing in it for me. I just know you. I know a movie. I'd like to set you two up.
Right.
It's like you're a single guy. I know a beautiful single gal. I'd like to get you two together over dinner.
Yes, I feel this way about books. I know, for example, that you would love Freakonomics.
Mm-hmm.
And I
would love Freakonomics.
One day you're going to read it and you're going to love it.
That is very true.
You seem like an especially crazy person, though, these days, trying to sell people on Diner. You're like, no. It's got Gutenberg. And they're like, the guy from Police Academy. Oh, it's got Paul Reiser.
Huh? Right. But
it's got Mickey Rourke. It's like, who's that? I've never heard of this person.
I want to say, though, that a week from tonight, if I'm not mistaken, you will be dancing in front of couple 20 million people?
Yes. No. I found out that I danced the second night.
Okay.
And as per usual in this town, I get horrible information all the time. I get guys dance the first night, girls dance the second night. And I thought, well, that's intuitive. I always thought it would be ladies first.
Yeah.
Well, that's the information that's given to me. And then, of course, my next thought is, good. I'll be glad to do it, because if I go there and just sit there the first night, which I'll have to do, without Dan. I'll just sit there and
you're
be nervous.
You're sitting in a tux being
I'll
nervous.
I'll just be sitting in a tux being nervous the entire night going, tomorrow night when I come out here, I will plot. I'd rather just come off the weekend and just do it.
You know? Right. Then you can just watch and relax.
That is exactly what ran through my brain, but of course it was reported to me in the reverse order on multiple occasions. Dan.
Hey guys, good morning.
Now I bring Gutenberg up and you up because you just went and saw Diner for the first time.
Also because it's the first segment. It happens every time we do this segment on the
that's
show.
That's right.
Thank you. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, good movie, right?
A really, really good movie, and I was surprised because I didn't know what to expect going into it, but you know, halfway through I was like, this is a really, really good movie. A lot of subtle humor, and Brian mentioned Paul Reiser. I loved his, he had a couple great one-liners in the movie.
Yeah, good movie, Barry Levinson, and it's funnier than any comedy. I mean, you guys want to go see Drillbit Taylor this weekend with me, or shall we, what, here's what I understand. I understand, like, if it's a car, the car's 20 years old, and a car, a Porsche, from 1987 might not be as nice as a Toyota from 08. It's just technology has marched forward. Different vehicle, but technology has moved forward. I understand that as it pertains to technology-based things. The most expensive TV set is from 20 years ago is not as nice as the cheapest TV set is today. But movies? What's the difference?
Yeah, great movie's timeless.
Great movie is timeless. I mean, you know, at a certain point, maybe you're bumped because it's black and white or, you know, the soundtrack or whatever. But you can go back at least 45 or 50 years, and anything that was good, well, go see it if you haven't seen it.
I don't know if it's going to be as good as Raven Simone and Martin Lawrence in College Road Trip.
That's a good point.
Come on.
I was watching Richard Roper and the movies, and he was doing a little talking about Martin Lawrence and how many movies that guy's made and what his batting average was. And I just thought, if he was watching this, he would kill himself. I'm sure he's not. But, yes, I don't understand. I don't want to sound like a snob or an a-hole here, but here goes, as I was watching. If you are Martin Lawrence, do you just say, I don't give a F. I want money. Or do you say, hey, this is really funny stuff, which would then make you clinically insane? Or do you say you sort of justify it where you go, look, this is the, I don't know, NASCAR of comedy. A lot of people like this kind of stuff.
It's for the masses.
It's for the masses. I'm providing a service for the masses, like a really bad fast food joint. But then my question would be, what's in it for you? And I guess the paycheck. But, okay, I mean, when you see some of those Martin Lawrence movies, they're sort of, I would almost call them humiliating.
The question you're asking is there any chance Martin Lawrence thinks it's funny?
When you read those scripts, like when you go through those movies, when you take the movies, like when I was watching, I don't know why I get back to it, again, the Comebacks, it was that sports movie that my buddy David Koechner was in, and one of the reasons I bring that movie up because I watched it recently because I've been going back and watching all the horrible movies that the studios passed on our movie to make. And there's like a scene where he's standing on the sideline and he's got his little coach, he's got his little player with him. And the guy's like, I want to play quarterback, coach. And Koechner, the coach, says, you're not going to play quarterback? No way. And the guy said, well, coach, what if I took my hot dog and I put it right in between some hot, warm buns? And Koechner gives a look like, huh, what? And then you show the guy reach into his football helmet and offer him up a hot dog. And then Koechner gives a look. It's like play on words, joke. What? I don't know. It's a joke. Obviously, it's supposed to be homoerotic, but as it turns out, it's literal. He's actually offering him a hot dog. So he can play quarterback.
That zigged when I thought it was going
to
zig.
I stopped it, and I turned to my wife, and I said, this is awesome. What do you think this looked like on the script? Like, when you're reading the script, coach says, no chance. Player says, what if I take hot dog? Reveal to explode, expose him taking a hot dog out of helmet and offering him. Somebody read that and went, hey, where's my checkbook? Let's green light, baby.
I haven't seen 10,000 BC, but it made almost $36 million.
It did.
Yeah.
All right.
Maybe it's good, but it doesn't look funny.
But 10,000 BC?
Yeah.
But that's not supposed to be funny.
Is that supposed to be a comedy? No.
Wait a second, T. Is your head going to explode here?
How about Martin Lawrence's movie making $14
million?
Well,
there you go.
It's a better example.
10,000 BC, not a great example.
I thought it was one of these wacky prehistoric comedies.
No, you're thinking of
the Flintstones.
You're thinking of the one Ringo Starr was in like 1979. Can we move forward? Look, when they screw up the big budget action stuff, I give them a pass because at least on the page it
you
looked
can't
like
tell.
It's a meteor coming toward the planet. On the page, when the guy pulls the hot dog out of the helmet to offer it to the guy, that has to look horrible on the
page.
So
you please stop laughing at that comeback script and get around to reading The Hammer. You've been putting it off for three days now.
In my defense on 10,000 BC, isn't it directed by the same guy who did Stargate? And I thought that was a comedy, even though it wasn't.
Maybe it's true, yeah. All right, let's see. Real quick. Someone's mad. It's a Teamster. Hey, Phil?
Yeah?
What's happening, Phil?
Hey, man, I just wanted to comment about something you said on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
About us Teamsters here in L.A.
Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just, I don't understand. You know, I took it kind of personally when you said someone with a GED shouldn't be able to make the kind of money that they do.
Right.
We're lazy, and that we're the reason why.
No, I didn't say lazy, but yes, exactly. Teamsters get paid, well, at least the guys who work on films get paid a ton for doing almost nothing.
That's totally untrue, man. How do you think all that stuff gets set up?
A 17-year-old could drive that van back and forth for $11 an hour.
well, equipment gets set up well before you're even awake. And how much money
18,
do you make sitting on your butt?
For driving? Okay. Well, listen, I make other people money. That's the difference between me and you.
We make all the actors money.
You could be replaced by guys with learner's permits.
You can't do that. There's safety issues and safety guidelines. You got PAs.
Let's put it this way. The dumbest guy I grew up with in my neighborhood, I found out later became a Teamster and he makes like $100,000 a year and he's by far the dumbest guy I know. I'm not saying Teamsters don't deserve to get paid. I'm saying you don't need 40 or 50 bucks an hour plus golden time plus meal penalties for driving a van.
You know what? It doesn't depend on how smart you are or where you went to school to protect your health and your welfare.
Do you not think other people can drive a shuttle? When I worked for the Man Show, I worked there for 4 years. The guy who drove the van was the PA. The PAs drove the van.
And then that PA, ran into something.
He never ran into anything. Just like he never ran into anything on the way home from work. Just like I never ran into anything on the way home.
Because most of those people who drive who aren't aware and aren't used to driving,
Yeah, they're not used to driving vans with three people in them. Listen, you're making an argument.
It's a safety issue.
It's a safety issue.
They wouldn't have rules unless things have happened in the past.
Listen,
I mean, it's a safety issue.
Look, it's not a safety issue. It's a union issue.
All right, well, the last thing I want to say is, if you say it's because we get paid a lot that they film in other, in Canada and other places, I think it's the high-priced actors like yourselves,
No, they get paid the same when they go to Canada.
No, we got paid the same, too. Our wages increase maybe a dollar or two every 4 years or something like that when we renew our contract.
Phil,
you're talking about.
All right, let me try to break some bread with you. It's not just the Teamsters. It's all the unions. It's the same way in construction. It's a bunch of guys getting paid a bunch per hour, and they're not worth that much.
So you're saying your union, too, the SAG union, too, that actors get paid tremendous amounts of money for hardly doing anything.
It's not about calories burnt. It's about money brought in. You see, if I sit down and I write a hit song and it takes me 3 minutes and it makes my record label $10 million, then it's worth it to them. Do you understand? It's not about how many calories are burned doing your job.
So I guess, you know, using that money to feed my family and help my dad who's struggling.
That has nothing to do with the economics of what I'm talking about, how much you need the money or what you need the money for. When I'm talking about economics, it doesn't matter whether you're a single guy living in a one-bedroom apartment doing cocaine and buying hookers out of the Yellow Pages or feeding a family of five and helping your ailing father. That has nothing to do with the economics.
So if you're an actor that went to Harvard or Juilliard, and you're an actor who just, you know, went out of Santa Monica City College, and you make it, I mean, who's better? Who's more deserving? The person who got the better education? And then let's say you went to Juilliard, you didn't make anything of yourself as an actor, and you go, hey, I'm going to become a Teamster because it's in the industry that I love, and it pays well. I don't think I'd be a Teamster if it didn't pay well.
Right, but the point is you can be replaced by hold on. He's kind of proving my point because he's explaining how dumb he is by trying to explain what I said. Teamsters, and I don't know all of what Teamsters do, but the Teamsters who work on movie sets can be replaced by high schoolers for the most part. Maybe not the guys who drive the heavy equipment. I'm talking about the guys who drive the vans, like we're talking to Phil here.
And have a sarcastic attitude. So all I want to let you know is you lost a lot of listeners, and you lost a lot of those listeners in the vans that I'm driving that I used to listen to your show with.
Well, listen, listen, Phil. What do you want me to do? Lie? I think you should get a raise. How much you get an hour?
It depends. Depends what contract you're on. If you're on a commercial or film or video or
Phil.
It depends.
It's 28 to 30.
All right, for driving a van.
No, for driving a truck with my commercial Class A license.
Okay. All right, Phil.
Get mad. Good times.
Don't listen anymore, please.
I won't.
All right.
May I add, I think we would all agree that the concept of organized labor is a good one. It's only as good as the leadership of the labor unions, which have become very corrupt.
Bob is, thank you, on the blower. Bob?
Hey.
You're a Teamster as well?
Yeah. Now, how many, we used to do side jobs. We used to do, like, mobile paint repair and stuff in the studios, you know, down in, like, CBS Radford or TV City or Warner Brothers or Universal's. Now, how many times have you seen a Teamster sit in a truck, crocked?
Sitting in a truck what?
Crocked.
Just half crocked. I see these guys
fucking
out. Yeah, crocked, drunk.
Oh, crocked. Wow.
Or just
school.
A little bit high. Now, I'm not saying all of them, but a lot.
No.
A lot of people there smoke a lot of weed.
Listen, I'm not saying that Teamsters are drug addicts or high or drunk on the job. I'm saying I've been on a few movie sets, and they sit in the van and listen to the radio while they're getting paid $30 an hour. I'm not saying that they don't work. I'm not saying that a percentage of them don't do important jobs, that they don't move heavy equipment or do other things like that. Somebody wanted to know about unions. I explained that when you pay people, you could pay $15 an hour or two, $30 an hour or two. Eventually, the companies move to a place where they don't have those requirements. And thus, how much work has gone to Canada from Hollywood over the last 30 years?
Amen.
A ton. Why? Well, not just the Teamsters. All the unions have priced themselves out of the game. You go to a set, you can't just go, you know, put a piece of duct tape on something. You got to get a guy from the grip union and the gaffers union and the best boy and the Teamsters and all. And eventually it costs so much money that the businesses pick up and move. That's what I was saying. And we got an angry Teamster who didn't like what I'm saying, although I must say he didn't articulate himself very well as far as his argument went. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. It's a great idea. Go at it with the Teamsters. It's a fantastic plan. We'll take ourselves a break. Don't get me wrong. When I was working for a living, I wish I was a Teamster.
Sure, it's
a great job. I wish
I
got that gig. I wish I got into any studio gig, any union studio gig, carpentry, Teamster, anything. Because if you're a union carpenter at a studio, you're getting $30-$35 an hour versus the $12 an hour I was getting paid. That's in a place called the real world. Eventually, they stop filming and move to a place where they can get carpenters and guys who drive vans for $12 an hour. All right, quick break. Back with more How Say You next.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
That's right. Y'all already locked on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Face it, you love crank yankers. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Michelle's Kitchen, can help you.
Hi, yeah, I'm calling because I'm trying to help my sister arrange a big family reunion we're doing for about 35 people. I want to spend about $100 per person. And I'm just calling to see if you guys could help us out.
Hold on a second, okay? What's your name?
Danny.
Hold on. Yes, may I help you, Danny?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to help my sister cater our family reunion we're having in town. And we're expecting about 35 people. We want to spend around $100 per person. And I think what she had in mind is, say, some seafood appetizers and then with a probably a chicken entree. And I wondered, starting with the seafood appetizers, what kind of stuff do you guys do? Do you do, like, squid or prawns or
anything like that? I tell you what. We are in the catering table.
Hello? Excuse me, I'm just, I'm sorry, hold on, just, I have the stomach flu, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay, we have all what do you code for us now. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, I'm listening.
Okay, the best way...
Oh, God, it's coming out my nose. Oh, I am sorry. Okay, so you're telling me about the appetizers?
Can you talk?
Yeah, I can talk. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Okay. Yeah. We have all what do you mention now? Hello?
Yeah. Hold on. Can you just give me a minute? I'm really sorry, but I'm under a lot of stress, and my sister is driving me nuts about this thing. Okay. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Okay, why don't you let her call us, and we will explain to her.
I know, but you know how family is.
Okay.
Maybe if I can get through this.
We are in the catering service for many years.
Okay.
We have the shrimps, we have the squid, we have salmon, we have all kinds of different fish. Do you need some appetizers, and then the dinner buffet.
Ah, that's great. Now, do you work with caviar?
Yes.
Okay, what do you do with the caviar?
We could do caviar 10 different ways.
Hello?
I'm Norm McDonald. You're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for Frequency Modulation.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Jack Silver.
Check, check! You gotta know when to hold 'em, peeps! Today, comedian Ralphie May, the Ace Man recaps his rants in Last Week in Rage, Ozzy reviews the number one movie in America, 10,000 BC, and a special guest for Music Monday, Kenny Rogers! Oh, perfect! Why, just yesterday, the Jackman was mentioning how we need more talk about gambling, beards, and roasted chicken on this program! Take that, every other morning show! Bye!
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, let me just put a little bow on my union talk, because it chaps people when I talk about unions. All right, I'm going to do it in 1 minute, just so everyone knows where I stand. There was a time when this country needed unions badly. Workers were being abused and exploited. So it's a necessary thing. At a certain point, I think unions became too powerful and sometimes got a little too demanding, wanted too much, and priced themselves out of the market, meaning companies moved from Flint, Michigan to Mexico and from Hollywood to Canada because of that price. Now, Do we need unions? Are unions inherently evil? No. There are certain situations like Brandon Lee might still be alive today if that was a union movie he was working on because a non-union guy packed the gun with the blank and didn't have the safety, whatever, and the next thing you know, he got a slug in his sternum and is dead. Quite possibly because it wasn't a, you know, I don't want a lawless, unsafe community. Here's what I don't want. I don't want a $35 an hour guy driving my van, and I don't want a $9 an hour high schooler driving the van. There's a balance somewhere in between. That's what I'm looking for. That balance is Teamster gets paid to drive van, but not so much that the company needs to pick up and move to Canada. And when I say Teamsters, I'm just using your one union as an example because it's the only one that comes to mind in a group of many unions in Hollywood of many people that get paid quite a bit of money. Some would say too much. Now, as far as what the actors get paid, what the writers get paid, what the creative people get paid, that is neither here nor there. Because if you want Matt Damon to do your movie and it's going to cost you $20 million, but you think he's good for $100 million, then that's the deal you make with Matt Damon. That has nothing to do with his union. And as I've said many times when people say, what about your union? What about SAG? What about AFTRA? I never asked to join those unions. I was shanghaied. I was forced to join those unions. You don't join those unions. Those unions join you. They take your first paycheck. They take $2,000 out of those unions, and then you're in the union. And they say, well, what about all they do for you? Well, listen, they don't do anything for me. If you want me to do a commercial or a TV show, you talk to my agent, you guys discuss it, we agree on a price, and that is that. You figure out what I'm worth. The union has nothing to do with it. And then people say, well, what about the dental? What about the medical? Well, I would rather be the guy who provides my own dental rather than giving the union the $2,000 a month and then getting some dentists. And by the way, how about you just do that with everything? How about your groceries? So what if you join a union and they just drop off a bag of groceries at your house every month and they go, that's what you need. That's enough for you. And meanwhile, we'll just take money out of your paycheck for groceries. Would you like that? Or would you prefer to shop around, go to your own market, and spend your own money as you saw fit? Look, I was sucked into the union. Let's not joke about it. And that's why whenever the union goes on strike, or whenever the union votes, or whenever the commercial actors go on strike, my attitude is, screw you guys. I never wanted to be part of your union. And by the way, really, how much support can you guys expect from somebody who did not want to join your ranks, but was forced to join your ranks because of your strong arm tactics? Really? How much loyalty could you really actually expect from that? It's like saying, like in the 50s mafia movies where the collection guy, the protection guy comes over and goes to the dry cleaner. Hey, where's that $100 this week for making sure your front windows weren't blown out? How much loyalty should that guy have toward the mob guy who shows up to the place and says, and then cries, no respect. We protect your business.
Sounds like Roadhouse.
I don't want to be in the crappy union that I'm in. F you guys. And then don't get your panties in a bunch when you find out that one of your own, who's not one of your own because you dragged me into your union, doesn't care about your stupid elections or when you go on strike.
Right. Now, when you get your second union job, it's actually called a must join. Though that's a misnomer. You're led to believe that if you don't join, and if you don't, by the way, pay the money that day in cash to your union office, which is what I had to do both times, then you won't be allowed to work. By the way, the Supreme Court decided, I think sometime in the late 80s, that that's illegal. You should be told you have the option to go financial
corps. Of course it's illegal. Yes. I mean, listen, SAG or AFTRA or whoever you are, how about I talk to Jack Silver, CBS Radio, and the other muckety mucks in New York. We decide what I'm worth a year, and I'll provide my own dental. The only part that sickens me more is the brainwashed actors who then look at me as some sort of Benedict Arnold because I'm not into my union that I never wanted to be a part of in the first place. It's like, why don't I just join the UAW because I drive a effing car?
If you resign from the union, by the way, which you can do It's called Financial Core. You only pay core dues. This decision was made because unions were supporting certain political candidates, and all the members didn't agree with that. If you do that, you will be blackballed.
Yeah, of course.
No one will hire you.
Listen, screw you. I don't care. I'm funny. I'll get hired. Adam.
Yeah.
What's happening, my brother?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good.
Yeah, I deploy pretty soon. I just wanted to call you up and tell you that I'm going to miss listening to your show every morning on the way into work.
You're going to Iraq?
No, I'm in the Navy, so I'm going to be floating in circles in the Persian Gulf.
That sounds safe. Hey, do me a favor. When one of those ships, one of those cigarette boats comes flying at you at 80 miles an hour and then peels off at the last second, go ahead and shoot it with that Phalanx system, would you please?
Trust me, you have no idea how much we want to do stuff like that.
What would be the problem? They're flying at you. Why not just shoot them?
Because you know how it is. There's red tape for everything. You have to tell them so many times.
Why can't you just kill people?
There's a huge battleship gray. And by the way, the reason it's called Battleship Gray is because it is in fact a battleship that is floating. It's 400 feet long and it's filled with guns and angry white guys. You should not take your Zodiac RAF and charge it. Do you really need a bullhorn to explain that to somebody?
Unfortunately, the powers that be say yes.
And what do you do on the vessel?
I am a electrician for the jets.
Ah, that's a bitchin'
job.
Not the
sharks?
It's not West Side Story, baby.
I knew it was some kind of
war. This is a real war. They don't fight with combs. Hey, Adam.
Yeah.
What do you got on there? What kind of jets you got on there?
Oh, we got... let's see, your standard F-18s, the Ghost Strap missiles, and
Hornets.
Screw them up.
So you're on aircraft carrier.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they say about those, T?
What?
Floating city.
Ah. Yeah. Is that what it's like, Adam?
5,000 people that you'd rather not see every day.
I would...
Okay. So
I
like commerce.
I would say, even though you're not excited about going, what an experience. I'm telling you, being on an aircraft carrier... Unbelievable. I mean, the thing that's crazy, you want to know what's crazy about an aircraft carrier?
What?
You think about the mass of an aircraft carrier. I mean, think about the size of that. You know, it's 2 football fields long. It holds 5,000 people. I mean, just think about how big and how much water that thing displaces. That aircraft carrier can cruise at 35 miles an hour. When you're skiing, if you ever go water skiing, and I know Jews mainly wakeboard, but
I never stop wakeboarding. I'm doing it right now.
I know.
My mind.
But picture yourself. When you water ski, and you do that move where you're like, hey, man, up and up, and you get up to about 35, 37 miles an hour, it's like you're skipping behind.
Right.
And if you get to 40, it's like, slow down a little, dude. You're going to kill me. That vessel. That mammoth structure with 5,000 people and 25 or 100 airplanes on it that take 2 football fields long and a football field wide, that thing goes the same speed that you're going when you're behind that Ski-Doo being dragged by your buddy on Lake Havasu.
You ever been on one while it's going that speed?
No.
I have.
You have?
Yeah, USS Seattle.
What's
like
it like?
My cousin was deployed on it during the first Gulf War. It was funny because at first it didn't seem like you're going that fast because it's so incredibly massive. You know, it was a refueling. Actually, it was a refueling. I'm pretty sure it was a refueling one. Anyway, it didn't seem like going that fast because it's so incredibly huge. And I looked at it. I'm like, when do we go fast? Like, oh, we're hauling ass now.
Yeah.
Like it was really, and then you kind of look around at things when you actually are passing things.
Yeah, they'll do, I don't know, it's classified, really, some of the stuff. But, I mean, they'll do, like, I don't know, 30, 35 knots or 32 knots or something. But it's really, it's like almost 40 miles an hour, and it's as big as 30 apartment buildings and big apartment buildings. Like, it is amazing that something can move that fast. And here's the other thing. For all you green freaks out there, those ships, and you could imagine how much diesel fuel those things would burn to get those props moving, to get that mass moving at that speed. Those things are nuclear powered. And there's basically, and I'm going to screw up the science, but it's something like this. Something the size of a tennis ball powers those things for 30 years at a time with no, I mean, could you imagine, T, just as far as the green people
right.
are going, and you heard me saying a couple of weeks back, I said, look, one of the things I would love to do in this country is build some nuclear power plants, focus on electric cars, and go completely electric and nuclear over the next 5 years. And I bring up your beloved France because of a lot of people that are worried about the environment and worried about this country and how it pollutes look toward countries like France as much more liberal and much more progressive. And if they can do it, we can do it. Now, imagine how many millions of gallons of fuel those things would go through steaming back and forth to the Persian Gulf. I mean, you take a boat. You take just a ski boat. It's amazing how horrible the mileage is on water. It's much worse than the car ratio, meaning you ever go out skiing, the guy's got a ski boat and it's got, T, I know you're wakeboarder, but you go out, for those who haven't, you know, thing's got a small block Chevy in it, and you have a huge fuel tank, and it costs $200 to fill up the boat, and that gets you a day of skiing. Meanwhile, you could have driven to Oregon and back in a car and still had fuel left over. Imagine that mass turning those propellers. How much it would put into the air, how much diesel, how much carbon would go into the air versus something the size of a tennis ball, which is the nuclear whatever, that boils the water, that turns the piston, that turns the turbines, that turns the propeller, meaning a tennis ball and no pollutants for 50 years. See what I'm saying? If you took that, what we do with the ships, and you applied it to the land, get rid of the coal mines, get rid of all that that's going up in the air, and replace it with that tennis ball, it sounds pretty good to me.
I see. You're saying we should run the carriers. We should run the cities the way we run the carriers.
Again,
cities.
Brian could look it up. Somebody could call me up and correct me, but it's basically like this. That carrier would go through 10 billion gallons of diesel fuel that would create 10 billion tons of particulates, soot, whatever, greenhouse, CO2, carbon monoxide, versus something the size of a tennis ball for 50 years. That's it, with no pollutants. All right, and I know there's a issue of what do we do with it when it's done, but I think just like they've done in France, we've can and should at least work on overcoming that. All right, one more call. Let's see. Who do you want to
listen?
Want to
Jasper
to?
Wants to know about Brian's history.
All right, Jasper.
Tangent.
You want a little history on Bald Brian?
Yeah, and Teresa. What's up, guys? How are you?
Hey.
Tangent. I love the show. Hey, Teresa. I used to write you a little bit on MySpace before.
Oh, thank you, Jasper.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome. You guys don't talk about your background that much, so I thought of asking you what you guys did before the show, because I've been listening to Adam for quite a while.
Spent a lot of time on nuclear aircraft carriers, and that's how I lost my hair.
Awesome. Cruising at 40 knots, his hair all blew off. I'll tell you what, Jasper, let's do that, because I'm kind of curious as well. I know some about Teresa and some about Bald Brian, and Bald Brian, I'll give you a clue, I met back in the Loveline days. But why don't we take a break? We're running late. When we come back, Bald Brian and Teresa will both get us up to speed. Tell us how they got here, how they arrived, where they started.
Do I include the sex offender?
Yes, please.
Nice.
Quick break. Hang on, Jasper. And we'll be back with the story of Bald Brian and Teresa after this.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, your station for wall-to-wall Adam Carolla. Now, here's another great Crank Yankers episode on 97.1 32 HD.
Hello?
John?
Yes.
John, this is Adam Carolla.
How you doing, Adam?
It's Dr. Drew, too.
Hey, Dr. Drew.
John, I'll tell you what we're doing and why we're calling. We're banking some phone calls for the best of shows that we run over the holidays.
So
we'll just do the call same way we normally do, and you just jump in with your problem, and we'll just take it from there.
All right.
Roll tape. John, you're 21. Welcome to Loveline. Hey, what's your problem?
About 2 weeks ago, my girlfriend and I decided that we're going to get married.
everybody was fine with it except for my mother, and she's going crazy about it. And
what's the problem she has?
She can't believe that I'm only 21 and I'm already getting married.
Stop tape. It'd be great if there was a bigger problem. It'd be great if there was something like drugs,
alcohol, pot, heroin.
You know what I mean?
Well,
we're doing best stuff.
Here we go.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's take it from Drew asking if there's any other problems. We'll splice it together.
There we go.
Roll tape.
So, John, anything else going on in your life that your mom might be concerned with that she wants you sort of sort out before you get married?
It started about 3 years ago.
What'd you do?
Did a little bit of LSD, and then we started doing a little bit of speed.
A little bit of speed. That's what I thought. God knows what he did to get the money for the drugs, Drew.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
No, it never went that far.
Stop tape. John?
Yes.
I think turning tricks, male prostitution, something like that.
Yeah.
Roll tape. John, you must have had to do some horrific things in order to feed that drug habit of yours, in order to get the money. Yes?
Yeah, I moved to Atlanta and started working there as a male escort.
And escorting men or women?
Women. No men. I mean...
Stop tape.
Come on. Women do not use male escorts. They just don't.
Let's just pick it up again. Escorting women or men?
Both. You know, I had to do the guy thing every now and then.
Stop tape. Just men. Believe me, it's a more provocative call.
Straight men?
No, not straight men.
Straight men.
Gay men. Okay, ready? Escort for women or for men?
For males.
Males. And how many men would you see in an evening?
Maybe 3 or 4.
Oh, my God.
Enough to support the habit. That's put a little food in my mouth.
You had more than food in your mouth, brother.
Hey, were you the receptive partner or the pitcher?
More often the giver than the taker.
Stop tape. John?
Yes?
If you were the taker more often, it would probably be more provocative for our listeners. All right, keep going. So, giver or taker?
I was the taker.
That's what I figured. Ever any bleeding from the constant sodomy?
There came a few problems.
John, are you in a diaper right now?
I've moved out of the diapers. I've gone some more, these panty liners down there now.
I'm disgusted.
Yeah, me too. John, you're horrible, horrible man. You sicken me.
I mean, guys.
Excuse me, I've got to go. I'm going to vomit.
You made Drew vomit for the first time ever.
Really? On the show? Oh, great.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for trying to help.
Good luck.
I'm Aisha Tyler, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station. It's in HD, but you can't see it because it's radio.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
Oh, you're off to a great start. You put on 3 pounds.
Muscle mass, coach.
I just don't see how you can be skinny and fat at the same time.
You know, I've seen guys like you before. You're one of those 95%ers who never quite gives it everything he's got.
Actually, I'm a 75%er who's given you an extra 20%.
The Hammer, in theaters March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Thanks there, Dawson. Well, Jasper wanted to know the journey of Bald Brian and Teresa. I know something about it. I know it always feels that way, but if I'm ever listening to a radio show and somebody asks somebody where they came from or how they got started, I'll never tune out.
Brian?
I always want to know. Brian?
Well, if I can talk?
Yeah, go.
Oh, yeah, no, I thought it was kind of like, I guess I would say charming that when Teresa's dad was on, he said how proud he was of her and, like, of how long she's been at it and stuff. So I thought that, like, I was, like, kind of curious as to, like, some of the weird stuff she's done in between, like, you know, going on the show and... You know, starting out and graduating. And
thanks, Jasper.
Aww, thank you.
Paul Bryan, you go first.
All right, without boring you with the details, which I think I've already done. When I was younger, I thought I was going to be the next great sports reporter. I wanted to be a sports writer. I actually majored in journalism for a couple years at SC.
Now, growing up where?
In the Bay Area, just south of San Francisco, a small town called San Carlos.
And you went to high school.
Went to high school and was the editor-in-chief of my high school newspaper, was convinced I was
Going
to be, I want to be a sports writer, man.
So where you, by the way... kept your virginity but lost your hair. Just what you want forever. Every high school male would love to leave his hair behind but keep his virginity intact.
He did get voted best hair.
You guys
in high
never
school.
Get tired of hearing how my hair started falling out in junior high.
except for it was presented to a pile on the ground. Technically still great hair.
It was slash in memoriam.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So,
everyone's favorite part of the award ceremony.
So in high school, you were the editor of the school newspaper.
Along with being awarded best hair in the senior polls.
Right.
It's not a, well, it was a joke, but it right. actually happened.
Right.
And then did journalism for 2 years at SC, joined the fraternity.
Slow down. Yeah. You're smart. You're intelligent. Mm-hmm. Now, USC's not a cheap school to go to.
Well.
You're in the Bay Area. How do you, it's a private school. How do you decide on USC, and what about other schools that are closer to you and maybe academically even a little bit stronger?
Sure. Well, that's an interesting question. Number one, I was, like I said, I really wanted to be a journalist at the time, so I looked only at journalism schools. So I applied to USC, Oregon, Arizona, Sacramento State, sort of the better journalism schools on the West Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And USC was not only the best of the schools, but the best one that I got into. Now, something you didn't know about me, I was a terrible student. I was actually really, really poor student. I had a really low GPA, but I got a really high SAT score. So I was one of those guys that was really smart but didn't apply himself, at least in high school.
Mm-hmm.
So through recommendations, and I wrote, I guess, a really solid essay, and I got a good SAT score, I somehow got into SC. And
how did you pay for SC?
I luckily got a lot of financial aid, loans, which sucked, but a lot of grants and stuff, which was good.
Mm-hmm.
My parents did not go to college. I was the first one in my family to go to college, so they had a tough time paying for it. They paid what they could, and I did work study. I did some interesting work study jobs. I actually learned to be a bartender and bartended at USC alumni events.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they paid me like to do like alumni event bartending.
Now, your dad did and does what for a living?
My dad is a... he works for, he's a route supervisor slash salesman for a food distribution and manufacturing company. They make all the ravioli sold in the Bay Area.
So,
homemade ravioli.
So he made an all right living, but not a great living by any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. Very middle class.
Mom is
a
personal assistant, but before that, she actually started her own business, like a home business.
Mm-hmm.
And, very, very solidly middle class.
Mm-hmm. So you go to USC.
Yep.
You major in journalism.
For 2 years. Got sick of it. Hated it. Totally burnt out.
Mm-hmm.
Changed to creative writing. English. Best decision I ever made. I really enjoyed it.
Graduated after how many years?
Four.
Went to a fraternity.
Yep.
Did the whole time. Was a decent student. Graduated SC. What's the next move?
I went to work for a .com like everyone else around that time. It was 2000. And the .com closed or... was closed down after about 9 months, and I found myself unemployed. I had a series of bizarre jobs. I was a taste tester for Jack in the Box, like a secret shopper for Jack in the Box.
No ask, because when I met you, you're 240 pounds.
Which led me to doing part-time work at K-Rock, the radio station we used to work at.
Yeah. Hold on 1 second, Bald Brian, because that's when I first met this kid, and I knew he had it. Teresa Strasser has her story to tell as well. Already, I feel like I know 100% more about you than I did. It's disappointing, but I still know more.
I'll tell you what. I assumed you were from a wealthy family and that your parents paid for college outright.
No,
I don't
know
why.
Well,
no,
first off, everyone who's poor, and we should all have some sort of poor off to decide who was the poorest of the poor, but everyone who's poor assumes other white people who are who have decent jobs as adults must not have grown up poor. A, they're white. B, they're well-spoken. C, they're educated. And then when you throw D, USC, University of Spoiled Children, into the mix, you assume that...
I was gonna get a laugh out of that.
Right. Yeah, now, if you were a big black guy, we'd assume you went there on some sort of scholarship, but you being a spindly white guy, we assume your parents were rich. No, that's true.
Let me just put a bow on that thing real quick, which is my parents did not make a lot of money, but they made good financial decisions. We lived in an affluent city. They bought a house that was very cheap at the time and is now worth well over $1 million.
Good times. All right, hang on. Teresa has her story. We have the rest of the news, or all of the news, and we'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Robert Schimmel.
I bought my daughter a puppy, and we have the puppy, and I love my wife. She's so great, but you know, the dog in the house. She asked the dog if he did it. The dog's never going to answer her. She goes, "Did you over there?" I'm like, "No, honey, Aunt Rose in the kitchen." She actually drags the dog over to show him the I don't do that. The dog already knows he drag him over, they way over to where the is. That's why you gotta trick them. You gotta act like you don't know he. Block their view of it and go, hey, where's my little buddy? Hey, come here. Hey, what the f- right over there?
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
I'm Rachel Dratch, and you're listening to 97.1 32 HD, the FM talk station.
Coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show, we'll sit down with comedian Ralphie May.
And I mean, I'm real Southern. I mean, I'm real Southern. I was born in Tennessee, raised in Arkansas, moved to Texas when I was 18. I'm my own cousin.
Music Monday today, we'll try to show some of the disparity between different songs from the same artist. And we'll talk to Kenny Rogers about the very same thing.
Okie dokie, it's only music.
Oswaldo's in the studio to review 10,000 BC.
It's a very, very good movie, you know. It's
Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
Thanks, Coos.
Powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today? Call 866-901-ADAM and stream the Adam Carolla Show at AdamCarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
How about we call you douchebag?
And now, Adam Carolla.
So, a little more about Bald Brian. Went to USC, started with journalism, moved on to creative writing.
Is that hard to play the snoring on yourself? No, I respect that.
No. I'm very interested in people's paths
me
to
too.
Where they arrived. So, do a little jobs in and out. Eventually, how do you end up at Loveline?
What was I trying to do? I think I was trying to write or something, and I was looking for part-time gigs, and I came across two ads on the same day. They said, phone screener at K-Rock's a local radio station. It's a very big deal. It's a very big radio station. Phone screener at radio station / phone screener at Loveline. Loveline was the nighttime show on K-Rock. They also needed one during the day. Phone screener, that is. I went and interviewed with the producer of Loveline and with the one of the employees of the station, and I got offered the job answering the phones during the day, not the job at Loveline. I did that for a year. Which was a real soul-crushing experience. And eventually, when your old phone screener moved on, they offered me the job.
Tara, don't call me Tara, goddammit.
No, Damien.
Ah, Damien.
The other bald guy.
Right.
You needed a bald guy. And
sure.
I benefited from, yeah.
Bald Brian was 50 pounds, and I'm not exaggerating when I say 50 pounds
55.
Heavier. 55. 55 pounds heavier than he is right now, and just as bald when he came waddling into the studio, and I thought, what have we here? But he was a breath of fresh air because it's very alternative over there, and the employees are oftentimes abusive to higher-ups, and I was a higher-up, and I used to get abused by our own phone screener, Tara, don't call me Tara. So when Bald Brian came in with his nose to the grindstone.
Grindstone being your ass.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ethic. Yeah, it's called the grindstone. Well, that's what Board Op Bill calls it.
Good name for Adam's A.
The grindstone. It was much appreciated, and when it came time to jump ship and come over here, he was the first guy that leapt to my mind.
Yeah.
All right, so now...
A lot of people don't know also that Brian began here as our phone screener.
Yeah, let me just connect the dots real quick. When I would listen to Loveline in high school on Live 105 in the Bay Area, of course, you know, Adam's hilarious, and Drew and Adam have a great chemistry, and it's a funny show, but goddamn, those sound effects are great. I didn't know anything about radio engineering or sound effects, but I thought Anderson was the funniest guy I'd ever heard.
He
come to
was.
Find out he's a problem drinker.
Yes, he is. All right, and first impressions of me after listening to me on the radio for all those years and then meeting me in person.
I remember the first time we met you, I thought you were very aloof, and I thought you either didn't like me or didn't like new people. You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Maybe you really liked the old phone screener, because
right.
He was like, how you doing? And then right back down.
Yeah, I have a one-year probationary period with everyone.
That's a tough year to get through.
Yeah.
What really helped me, actually, was just knowing Lynette, your wife, because she said, Adam really likes you. And then I thought, but he doesn't look at me ever or address me.
Oh, my God, it's exciting.
I took her word for it. It was comforting.
I have no self-esteem. That's why I look at my feet when I talk.
Your wife's really your better half.
Mm-hmm. Look, I'm not warm and fuzzy, but I'm not mean either. You'll sort of feel about yourself how you feel about yourself in front of me. I'm really just a mirror.
Yeah. Oh, no.
No,
is that the problem?
No, you know, I'll tell you what the problem is without sounding like a blowhard. I don't look at myself how other people look at me. other people look at me as a radio personality or a TV personality or celebrity. I just look at me as me, and I don't look at me any differently than the guy who changes. I know this is going to sound like I'm full of crap, but in my heart of hearts and minds of minds, I look at myself as another person who works in the building. Not your boss, not somebody who you may be intimidated to talk to, not somebody who you're eager to please. I look at myself as the guy who changes the stale crackers out of the vending machine and pushes the hand truck down the thing.
Oh, you're the guy.
So when I have the exchange with you where I pass you in the hall and I go, "How you doing?" and you go, "How you doing?" I'm having the same exchange with you in my mind as the guy who you don't care about, who's changing the thing. And I don't realize that you're walking away going, "Oh, the boss man doesn't like
right.
me." I don't think of myself as a boss man. I don't want you to think of me that way. I don't want you to go home and examine that. Okay. I don't want you to go home and go, "Wow, Adam seems like he's not a fan of mine." Because you wouldn't do that if the guy who changed the vending machine did that.
Right.
And my self-esteem is so non-existent in its own weird way because I was brought up in a vacuum of self-esteem
right.
that I don't understand, you know, and then once in a while somebody pulls me aside and goes, "It's very important what you think and what they think, and these people look up to you." And I say, "Why? I don't understand. We just go to work, everyone does their job, and then we go home. I get paid more, and my name is on the show, but other than that, why should they care?" And so it ends up bringing up a lot of insecurities in people.
Right.
And for me, I'm just being shy like they are.
I got it.
So when
I
met Paul Bryan, I was just like, "Hi, how you doing?" And I was just being like the guy who's the vending machine guy, not the guy who's thinking, you know, this kid's probably nervous. It's pretty important to him how I treat. It must be a big deal. Like, I would never think
right.
it must be a big deal for you to meet me.
Right. I mean, I think it was especially awkward for me because I was kind of filling in for somebody, and I wasn't sure if she was coming back. I was the I was the Lou Gehrig to her Wally Pipp.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Sounds familiar.
So anyway, I'm sorry. I know I'm the world's I'm a horrible boss because
I would argue. Well, there's the downside, which is sometimes I think you don't care to know that much about us. But the upside is, I would say of anyone I've worked with or for, you have easily the most personal integrity as a human being.
Well, not only that, but when
you're saying Harvey Levin,
no, but as a boss, if you say to me, "Hey, 2 weeks from this Monday, I'm going to need to leave up. Oh, see you later." I will never go like, "Where are you going?" No,
right.
no, you're not. There's no request where I don't go hit the bricks.
You, in fact, offer to help me when back when I thought TMZ was going to be a great job, when they told me it was going to be the daily show for entertainment. You actually helped me to get the job, and you helped me negotiate those strange hours working from 10 to 2 and all that.
Well, here's what I would look at myself as, if I may.
A god.
Forget about the personal integrity part. I don't know how much of that I have.
A lot.
I really?
Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely. You don't lie. That's huge. You
right.
never try to manipulate people. I think you have a moral comfort zone that's very clearly delineated, and that I can't say that for everyone.
Oh, all right. Well, it's just a business where most people are liars and a-holes. Here's what I will say about me. I'm like the warden of a prison who does not provide great food or great dental work or safe environment, yet I'm not stringent either.
Tough but
right.
fair.
If you want to go make a shank in metal shop
so
and bring it out onto the yard and put it into someone's rib cage, that's your business. So not
a revolutionary.
Not a disciplinarian. I'm sort of in a weird way like my dad. Not the world's greatest pops. Not going to buy you a car. Not going to pay for college. On the other hand, not going to get drunk and smack you with a belt.
Right.
You're on your own.
Benign neglect.
That's what I'm giving you. All right, T.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what we'll do. Why don't we hear your personal story, and then we'll push the news off one break, because I'm interested in that.
Get the snoring ready.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. You don't think of white trash Jews.
I know. That's the thing. We had a guy that went to USC who was poor.
Mm-hmm.
We have three of the poorest white people I've ever met. We have the guy who went to USC and graduated was poor. We have a Jewish chick who's poor. I went to North Hollywood High, we had about 10 Jews. They were all in student government. They all lived up in the hills, which was named Hebrew Heights, and they all had money, at least relative to the Flatlanders that we had. So I'd never even grown up with a Jewish person that didn't have a couple of ducats in the bank.
Horrible times at Sunday school at Sherith Israel when all the Mercedes would pull up, and I would either A, walk down to catch the 24 to visit Arrow home with my bus pass, or occasionally, like if it was storming rain, Mom would pull up in the Little Miss Sunshine VW that had to be pushed to start. And Mom, by the way, didn't look like the other mothers because she was so groovy. She didn't shave her armpit hair. She had an kind of a perm. People had those Afro perms then.
The kids must have loved her, though.
She had the fry boots and the leotard.
Yeah.
It was hard times.
Yeah, my mom didn't do the pit hair either. And it was very comfortable when a 12-year-old Ray Oldhoffer came by and said, "Hey, why is your mom's pit so hairy?" And I was like, I don't know, depression. What year is it? And he was like, "All right, hairy pit."
No.
That's what her name will be. And by the way, your house, it will not be called your house. We will call it the barn because the lawn is 3 feet high and it's falling apart.
Well, Dad had a Delta battery. Mm-hmm. He rebuilt alternators, generators, and starters out here in Van Nuys. That was his first shop.
Oh, beautiful.
He might have passed it by.
So Dad did car batteries, generators, alternators.
Systems,
did electrical systems. And I probably passed that place many times, probably even brought an alternator or two to have tested. Now, that was your dad. Now, this is your biological dad.
Yeah. Make me some juice.
They divorced when I was four.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first case in the history of Los Angeles in which the mom lost custody.
Wow.
If it was not the first, it was one of the first. Now,
nice
I don't
job.
Know what happened there, but... must have not been very good. So we ended up with my dad, and then they separated us.
Your mom's back in the Bay Area.
Yeah, my mom moved to San Francisco, and then my stepmonster, now deceased, thank God, decided that it would be better if I was with my mom. She didn't care for me. I was 3.5 or 4.
Right.
So
better.
Teresa was a hot potato.
I was a nightmare.
You could have lived in Van Nuys with your stepmonster.
Yes, that was the alternative.
You would have killed yourself a long time ago.
She had three kids of her own, and like you, my brother, who was living with my dad and my stepmonster, he lived in the closet while her kids had the bedrooms.
Service porch, to be exact.
Sorry.
But go ahead.
So I lived with my mom and in Noe Valley, San Francisco.
So you moved in with your mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She worked a couple of jobs. She owned a coffee house in the Haight, and she also worked for the government half day. And I took ballet from age 4 to 15, which I was not good at, but my mom wanted me off the streets.
In the Haight, or living in that area?
We were living in Noe Valley. Her coffee shop was
in
the Haight.
Oh, it was in Haight-Ashbury.
Yeah,
area.
And my ballet school was on Church and Market, so I spent, on average, 3 to 3.5 hours a day on the public buses.
And every day at ballet school?
Every single day, 2 to 3 hours.
2 to 3 hours?
Every day. And I was I was good enough to be in the advanced class, but it was very obvious I didn't have the body type to make it, and it was the most hopeless, frustrating thing because I knew you can't try yourself into having that body type.
But don't you think you learn discipline and perseverance?
I do.
From
and
that
also,
experience.
Yeah.
Especially since you weren't that good at it.
Yeah. And I
stuck it out.
I stuck it out. I also learned a lot of body dysmorphia.
Mm-hmm.
Look in the mirror. Don't know if I'm big or small.
Mm-hmm.
Can't gauge it very well.
Sure.
So that was sad because I sort of thought, that's my ticket out. I'm going to be a ballerina. Of course, I think that pays like 30 grand. So it was a horrible plan.
Right.
But all along, I was always writing and I would win, you know, local essay contests and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Poetry contests. So I ended up going to school in New York at NYU because they gave me the best scholarships, loans.
You went to a private school, even though, again, like Brian at USC, you were the poor kid at the private school.
Yeah.
For high school.
Yeah, and it was much better being the poor. I went to a prep school, high school. There was 5 scholarship kids. That was terrible. In college, there were a bunch of scholarship kids, so I was able to find a group of people who were also struggling, and that was much more comfortable.
Right.
But I did have to keep my grade. You know that movie where the guy has to keep his adrenaline a certain level?
Crank. Yeah. Jason Statham.
To keep my scholarship, I had to keep my GPA above a 3.7.
Holy macaroni.
Yeah, that was tough. I scooped ice cream at Peppermint Park.
Did you have a scholarship in high school?
Yeah.
See, I did too, and that is not a group you want to be a part of. Scholarship in college is kind of a badge of honor. Scholarship
right.
in high school
just means you're poor.
You're poor, now wash the windows.
You are poor, yeah.
Hey, well, by the way, this is why you two are always here on time and never miss a day in a gig that starts before 6 a.m., because you have this background. It's hard to get people who grew up in a softer environment, a more pampered environment, to do this kind of gig. They will show up late, you know, show me a hot blonde who was the head of the cheerleading squad and had every door fly open and was Daddy's little princess, and I'll show you a chick who misses every other day and shows up late every third. Yes, I love that work ethic. I love the humble and the hungry.
Well, I was very hungry, when I graduated.
Yeah.
I was hungry.
Found food, evidently, or it found you, either yeah. way. Sorry, go ahead.
When I graduated, I had to move home,
mm-hmm.
and I was working at the Houlihan's,
mm-hmm.
serving food. I got a job in a newspaper where I started as an intern, and then I was hired,
mm-hmm.
mostly writing obituaries, and, you know, I wasn't getting big front page stories, but I actually kind of quickly was. So
mm-hmm.
I did that for a couple years, and then I decided I want to move down here and see if I could make it. And I got a job for a newspaper that went out of business.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very, very broke.
Out here in Southern California, out here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, and I did a lot of catering, and I dated Brian Dunkelman.
Mm-hmm.
Times were very tough.
Lean years,
and
yeah.
And then I got a great job as a temp, but they have writing temps, like rent-a-temp, rent-a-writers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I worked for this pyramid scheme company.
Mm-hmm.
They call them multi-level marketing.
Sure.
You may
right.
have heard of
Tears.
It. Yeah, I don't want to say their name because Herbalife might sue.
Right.
But I had to name some of their products. So
oh,
I would sit in a room and
come up with names.
Yeah, name lipstick colors, name, I named a CarboGuard. Stops
Carbo
you from
guard,
absorbing
right.
carbs.
Yeah, and you'd have like Energy Blast and things like that, like
yeah.
the boosts and the herbs.
And then I got a big break when your friend Jimmy Kimmel, well, he didn't hire me, but that company hired me. I got a job writing on Win Ben Stein's Money,
mm-hmm.
which I did for 2.5 seasons. And then when Jimmy left, a girl came in and replaced him.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember thinking, I wish I could be doing that. I want to do what she's doing.
You want to be in front of the
yeah,
camera.
Yeah, but it seems so far away.
Mm-hmm.
For me, and I thought, what am I gonna do, how am I gonna
right.
turn around? There's every girl is probably younger and prettier,
mm-hmm.
and I realized the only advantage I had was I could prepare well for the auditions,
mm-hmm.
so I started right. auditioning for hosting jobs, and then I
hard work. You're yeah. using that skill, that talent that you learned.
Yeah.
By the way, Glenn on line 3 wants to know, if I'm such an average Joe, why'd I have a bunch of billboards around town that said American Genius?
Irony?
It's a very, very valid point. Partly, Jimmy Kimmel dreamt that up.
Tangent.
And basically just did it. I could have stopped him. That is true, but it was not.
I like those.
I thought they were sort of funny and ironic, too.
Why can't you be both an average Joe and an American genius?
Yeah, he meant it more, I think, in the Will Rogers kind of way,
yeah.
more than the Einstein kind
home.
Of way. But I did not coin that phrase. That was Jimmy's idea. So sorry, T.
Well, I started working, I was working on Jimmy's show, and I wanted to be on the other side. And then
Win Ben Stein's Money.
Yeah, and I was auditioning, and
mm-hmm.
it seemed impossible. But then eventually, I was writing on a show called 30 Seconds to Fame. Do you remember that show?
No.
Not a long-lasting show. And
mm-hmm.
on my first day there as a writer, after I'd convinced them to hire me, I got a call from TLC, and they hired me to work on While You're Out.
Yes, and not to cut you off, but just to let everyone know, everyone always thinks it's who you know. Everyone wants to know what your lucky break is or was. And as you listen to Teresa and Ball Bryan's story, both from very different backgrounds, although ironically the Bay Area, totally different path, but yet it's a chipping away, an erosion, and it continues, by the way. It's not like it's stopped here by any stretch of the imagination. Brian, you'd have to kill yourself if it did. It's continues to go, but everyone does that thing where they go, oh, then you did this. I don't know why, as a society, we're so enamored with that. You got your break when? You met
success,
this guy
sorry.
When? When was your lucky? When did your lottery? If you listen to both of your stories, it's just a very slow and steady climb. time, plenty of setbacks, plenty of plateaus, handful of dips in there.
Well, show up on time, work hard, and keep your mouth shut is boring. You know, but it's the way, it's what Teresa did. And...
Right.
I had some dips that were so low, I very seriously considered quitting. In fact, right before this.
Sweetie, remember when he said keep your mouth shut?
Oh, right. Shoot. Can't.
But
so
you
close.
Persevered. You kept moving forward.
Yeah, 2005, as I've mentioned, I had a couple of Japanese exchange students. I had to feed them dinner and breakfast living in my house.
That's
so I wouldn't
right.
lose my house.
B&B.
That was really hard. And also, that was the same year where my stepmonster died. But on her way out of this life, mm-hmm. she took every last cent of my dad's money.
Mm, right.
And he was living in a trailer. Mm-hmm. And when it would rain, you know, the water would come in. And he had lost one of his teeth in front.
Mm-hmm.
Come to town, luck. And I would just think,
the Jews threw him out.
Dad, yeah. can you just get the tooth replaced or a house without wheels? One mm-hmm. or the other. That's all I'm asking.
Wow.
When I was a kid, now I embrace it. And
definitely not a Jew.
I'm very close to my dad, and I embrace the fact that he worked with his hands and all that. But when I was a teenager and people would ask me, I would say that he was either a professor
mm-hmm.
or a businessman.
Yeah.
I was very embarrassed.
Yeah, I got a lot of those great speeches growing up, too. I don't know if they were speeches, but those little things you remember, like when I said, hey, Mom, why don't you just get a job? That way we'll have money. And she said, if I get a job, I'll lose my welfare. Awesome. Awesome point to be made to a 9-year-old.
Yeah,
freak
no,
out! Perfect.
It's a great role model.
I'm going to put my nose to the welfare grindstone. Where do you train for the welfare? Yeah, you don't want to jeopardize your $421 a month.
I will say this. I'm glad I had such a rough year before I got here, although I did do the Blockbuster show, How to Get the Guy. Went to 4 episodes. I will say that having such a hard year, it's very hard for me to feel sorry for myself when I get up at 4.
Yes, because of where you are and how much
I'm
you enjoy
so
your job.
I'm so happy to have a job.
I am as well. All right, T-Bone.
Yeah?
Speaking of your job... Better
but
late than never. Yeah, how about you just tease the news and we'll take a break.
Why is this song responsible for 8 deaths?
Country roads, take me home.
And what actor was described as having a relaxed masculinity?
Mm-hmm.
Give you a hint, he's in this room.
Wow. Quick break, back with the news and the new Teresa Strasser.
It's the digital network player, so we're the future. And we got the future Valley star, Adam Carolla, right here on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
KLSX HD2 Los Angeles. 97.1 Free HD2, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
Keep it locked on the Adam Carolla Show to win $500, courtesy of No Country for Old Men. When a man stumbles on a pickup truck loaded with $2 million, his decision to take the money sets off a chain reaction of violence. It's out this Tuesday on DVD and Blu-ray, starring Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, and Josh Brolin. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good movie.
That was a great
movie.
So
good.
T-Bone.
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today.
This headline brought to you by our content partners at MSN.com. I don't know if you've heard about this, Adam, but the Associated Press did a major study about our drinking water.
Yes.
And they have found that a vast array of pharmaceuticals, and I'm talking about antibiotics, anticonvulsants, mood stabilizers, and sex hormones, have been found in the drinking water supplies of at least 41 million Americans. Again, that is what the Associated Press is reporting. They did a long investigation, a 5-month inquiry, in fact, and they discovered that drugs have been detected in the drinking water supplies of 24 major metropolitan areas, including here in Southern California, also
yeah.
New Jersey, Detroit, Michigan, Louisiana,
Don't
Kentucky.
Care. Don't care. More fodder for crazy people. More reasons for people to think they have chronic fatigue syndrome or fibromyalgia. It's just basically more excuses for pussies. Look, you go anywhere around the world, you open a spigot, fecal matter comes out.
Right.
Like soft swirl. You go to India, you want to wash your hands.
Can you get a twisty?
You turn the spigot on. I go for 50-50, half
right.
urine, half fecal matter.
Right, twisty cup.
Black and white.
Oh.
I look... Everybody has horrible drinking water, I'm sure. Everything is everywhere. It's like they do these news stories. They go, do you know that the average workplace, the average cubicle, the average computer keyboard at your workplace has more microbiology and more microorganisms on it than the average toilet seat does? And the average, don't care. Don't care. You getting out of bed or aren't you?
You may be wondering how the drugs got into the water. Mm-hmm. Well, people take pills. Their bodies absorb some of the medication, but the rest of it passes through and is flushed down the toilet.
That's why I always give it a second pass.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm.
The wastewater is treated before it is discharged into reservoirs,
rivers,
or lakes.
That's what that colander is on my toilet.
Some of the water is cleansed again at drinking water treatment plants and piped to customers.
I lie to people and say I swallowed a Super Bowl ring, but they know the truth.
Most treatments do not remove all drug residue. Now, it's also non-prescription drugs they found, like aspirin and other over-the-counter drugs. You may be thinking, well, I'm fine because I drink bottled water or I drink filtered water.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much. Bottlers, some of which simply repackage tap water, do not typically treat or test for pharmaceuticals, according to the industry's main trade group. The same goes for makers of home filtration systems. So It may be that Americans have been taking drugs and flushing them unmetabolized or unused in growing amounts. Thus, more and more of it is getting into our drinking water.
Yeah, don't care. Doesn't make a difference. It's the same with all the other stuff they talk about. It's all, do you know what's in the air you breathe? You know what's in the hamburgers you eat? You know what's in the water you drink? Human beings are much more resilient than we are making ourselves out to be. Otherwise, we would not be here.
Right.
We then, I believe, are weakening ourselves by trying to protect ourselves in this Purell environment we're in, where everyone opens bathroom doors with the sleeve of their shirt, or worse yet, their foot. So I get the whiz foot on the door handle of the bathroom door, which didn't until you decided to give it the whiz foot opening, have whiz on it. Now it does. You could have a stranger whiz on your leg every day for the rest of your life. You'd be fine. You could eat the food you eat.
Deal.
You in, Brian?
Let's give it a shot.
I'll find a hobo.
I'll prove you wrong.
Now, will you do it with his nose to your grindstone?
Think about when you go into a fast food restaurant or any restaurant, even a fine dining establishment, think about where that food came from and think about who handled it and where it passed. Just the French fries alone, potatoes grown in Idaho, field hands putting it in, passing it down a conveyor belt. Everything you eat, I mean, when you go get a thing of frozen lasagna from Stouffer's, do you know how many different parts of this country those pieces came from? I'm sure there's plenty of crap and plenty of that stuff, just like there is on the keyboard at work when they do those stupid 2020
right.
reports. Have you ever gotten sick from touching a keyboard at work? I don't know. I haven't. Maybe you do. Maybe you get sick. We always want to know, too. Oh, I got sick last year. I wonder what I did. Who cares? There are things floating around and you get them, and then once in a while somebody in their 20s gets cancer and we all want to know why. Ooh, you know what? He had a roommate who smoked. Maybe just sometimes people get cancer when they're 20.
I'm
not saying go to work in it. Don't go to work in a shipyard where you just chip asbestos off of piping all day. But other than that, we have it better, we have it safer, we have it cleaner than any other time in history. We'll be fine.
The one thing that freaks me out, and I do agree with you that we've been purellified as a society and it's ridiculous, but the spike in autism, that really scares me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just such an extreme spike, and it's so recent, and no one understands it.
Yeah, I don't know enough about it other than to say we do live in an environment that has a sort of an ebb and a flow. There's certain, it's almost like a stock market. It goes up for a while, it goes down for a while, it comes back up for a while, goes back down for a while. It's hard to tell. Also, perception. You know, it feels like there's more cancer now than there was 20 years ago. There isn't. It just feels like it. It's brought to our attention. We're talking about it more. I don't know how autism works. I don't know how any of these diseases/afflictions work, but I do know that for some reason things go up and then go down, and it's not always for us to control or always know.
Right. Very controversial theory about vaccines playing some part in autism, getting some traction because of a lawsuit last week, but we still don't really know.
Right.
Now, on to international news.
International news.
Mm-hmm.
Important international news. How dare you? This is a very serious story.
I know.
There are fatalities. Mm. On the other hand, it does involve karaoke.
All right.
Some people take their karaoke very seriously, and that may be the case in Thailand.
Mm-hmm.
A 52-year-old man named Weenus Jumcumnerd.
Oh, stop.
That is his name.
Hmm?
Weenus.
Was he in Dukes of Hazzard?
Jumcumnerd.
He played the mechanic.
Was that Weenus?
That was Weenus. That's right.
There's a different guy. He's in
Weenus
Thailand.
Weenus and Cooter were both in the same Hazzard County.
Weenus Jumcumnerd had a problem with his neighbor, a 36-year-old man named Suttatip Tamajard.
Oh, boy.
Who often threw loud karaoke parties.
Someone's got to go to Thailand and straighten out these names.
Definitely not a Jew.
Weenus' problem was that his neighbor, Suttatip, liked to drink and party and, of course, break out the karaoke.
Sure.
Well, Weenus warned his neighbor that if they didn't stop singing karaoke, he would, quote, come back and finish them off.
Mm-hmm.
Loud karaoke party continued.
Mm.
Weenus was ignored.
Mm-hmm.
Then they had another karaoke party. And Weenus was pushed too far. Suttatip and her friends were singing John Denver's Country Road.
Mm-hmm.
Again and again.
They're doing the same song?
Same song.
Wow.
Now, I find this to be a very pleasant song.
Yeah. Sure.
Perhaps in the hands of a lesser vocalist, it could be grating.
Let me try to picture this song with a super thick Thai accent.
Yeah,
that's fine.
Growing like a breeze, country
road. I love this song.
Take me home to the place I belong.
I just love the idea that the guy who wrote this song died in an experimental aircraft.
He was taken home.
He was.
Well, after hearing this again and again and again, Weenus headed next door.
Weenus snapped?
He literally snapped.
He popped.
Yeah.
He shot Suttatip and seven others dead.
Shot by Weenus.
Weenus was so angry, he didn't even realize that he'd also killed his own brother-in-law. Who was at the karaoke party. He's now awaiting trial. I hope he doesn't hear this song in jail.
Well, I know this is going to sound racist, but I feel like if there was 10 Thai people in the room, I couldn't pick out my brother-in-law either. I really don't. I really feel like I would just
start
shooting.
Why would you think that sounds racist? I don't understand where you're coming from.
I can't tell Thai people from other Thai people. I know it's racist.
We used to, in my fraternity days, we would torture our pledges by playing the same song. We'd pick a different song every semester.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Playing it over and over again all night. And forcing them to clean the house.
Nice. And would you ever play this song?
No, we played The Fireman by George Strait. I played some really crappy songs.
Wow.
I could stop.
Right, so
it brings me back.
Look, he told them to turn down the stereo. They didn't. And they kept singing this song.
This was an ongoing problem.
All right.
He just played this song over and over, but killed eight people.
That's a lot of people.
Seems like a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, now on to some news from the world of science.
Still ranks only 24th in the category of how many people shot singing John Denver songs, by the way.
But not even in the top 10.
Not in the top 10, but still pretty good body count.
Yeah.
For karaoke.
Very unfortunate. Mm. Now here's some news about women and sex from the Journal of Sexual Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You may have been wondering all your lives, what is the ideal length of time for sex? According to women, what do they think is the ideal amount of time?
We're gonna put a minute number to this?
Yes. It's very specific. They have a specific range.
Can we go in seconds? Minutes, I would say, for actual intercourse.
That's right. Coitus.
I will go much lower than what you think, because people don't really realize, you know, what 12 minutes really is. I mean, you know, try boxing for 12 minutes. Try skipping rope for 12 minutes. You know,
I dated Steve Agee. Man's 300 pounds. That's a 12
300 pounds. That is bone dry, by the way. I would say between 8 and 12 minutes.
Wow. Brian, what? Do you want to hazard a guess? Have you had sex with a girl?
No, this is... Yes, no. This is bad radio, but I was busy working on this. I didn't hear what you said.
Jump cum nerd.
Oh, you'll be hearing that.
I would say actual intercourse. Mm-hmm. Actual penetration.
Yeah.
That actual part, I would say between 8 and 12 minutes. And let's be fair, half the women surveyed didn't want to have any sex.
Jump cum nerd.
So they're hoping to get it over with in... You know, satisfy, satiate their husband / boyfriend or what have you. So you got to factor in those people.
Weenus.
Mm.
Wow.
I say between 8 and 12 minutes.
I'm very impressed with you. The ideal length of time for sex is
Weenus.
for women is between 7 and 13 minutes.
Mm.
You're very close.
So down one and up one.
That's right. And they say if it only lasts 3 minutes, that's still okay. To put it another way, there's really only a 10-minute window where your girl is actually happy to be having sex with you. If you take too long or not enough time, she's not enjoying herself. And that's bad news because most guys say they prefer sex to last between 15 and 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But it all works out because the average man can only last about half that long anyway. So the average man goes about 7.5 minutes, and that's what women like, so it all works out.
Well, in a way, don't you think God or nature or whoever figured this all out for us a billion years ago?
Absolutely. Now, on to movie news. At the box office, number one, what I thought was a hilarious comedy, but what turns out to be a science fiction movie, 10,000 BC made $35.7 million at the box office.
Do they speak English in that movie?
Clearly, I know a lot about it.
Ask Ozzy, but I don't think he'll be
he doesn't speak English.
Oh, Ozzy's going to review that for us later. And speaking of reviews, Adam, The Hollywood Reporter has reviewed your movie, The Hammer, which I believe is opening March 21st.
Yes, it is.
I sent out a little bulletin to all my MySpace friends, and they seem very enthusiastic.
Thank you, Princess.
Here are some of the kind things that this review had to say. First of all, it compares The Hammer to Rocky. It says the Rocky formula has been recycled in many different arenas, but The Hammer might come the closest to matching the tone of the original Rocky.
Wow.
It goes on to say the movie benefits from unpretentiousness. It never takes itself too seriously. The script by Kevin Hench actually has a lot of snappy dialogue. Jerry, that's your character, is more of a wit than Rocky Balboa, and he enjoys trading barbs with coworker Ozzy, Oswaldo Castillo, as well as his fellow boxers. Director Charles Herman Wormfeld, kissing Jessica Stein, isn't much of a visual stylist, but he keeps the action moving swiftly. It goes on to describe you. Carolla exudes relaxed masculinity, even when he's playing the schlub. You warm to him because he refuses to swagger. He has a deft way with a one-liner, and he's generous in allowing his co-stars to share the spotlight. Heather Jurgensen, who had a leading role in Jessica Stein, Love Her, plays a scrappy public defender whom Jerry woos. Her rapport with Carolla is infectious. Castillo is delightfully funny as Jerry's Nicaraguan cohort, and Harold Mouse Moore, very good. House Moore glowers convincingly as Jerry's truculent boxing rival who becomes his ally.
Wow.
Lots of praise. It goes on. It closes with this. If The Hammer doesn't quite pack a wallop, it's a funny, engaging, loping journey along the sidelines of the sporting life.
Nice. From The Hollywood Reporter.
Very kind review. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news powered by MSN.com. Have you been to MSN today?
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
Well, as I say, and people always laugh when I say this, but I'm serious. When they ask me about the movie, I go, it's an 8.5. And they go, 8.5? And I go, well, how many 10s have you seen it lately? I mean, how many comedies have you seen where you went to the movie theater and you went, well, that was much funnier than I'd expected or hoped for? You usually go to the theater and you go, the trailer was funny or the commercial was funny. So I'm saying my 8.5 is what I give my movie. And it's like me setting you up with a chick going, she's a B+. You want an A, I know, but how many blind dates do you are you set up where the door opens up and there stands Jessica Alba?
You will absolutely enjoy it. You will enjoy it if you take a date. You will enjoy it if you go with your buddy.
God love you, Teresa, and thank you, Hollywood Reporter. All right, we'll take ourselves a quick break. Ralphie May. Comedian Ralphie May, who gave me a shoebox of marijuana the last time I saw him, so I'm forever grateful. Ralphie May in studio next.
You're listening to Free 2HD.
This is the future of radio, and you know you're listening to it because you're never tardy. This is 97.1 Free 2HD.
Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you got to have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2HD.
Boots.
Is this Boots and Saddle?
It is.
My name's Dick Rogers. Do you hear?
Yeah, Dick.
Close your pie hole and open your ears, Bubba. I've ever got a bone to pick with you. Listen, I'm at your establishment last night, and these fellas keep looking at me. They keep ogling me. I gotta hunt your clubs lousy with sweet fellas if you catch my drift.
Oh, my friend. I mean, then you picked the wrong establishment.
Let me tell you something. Where I come from, a fella goes to a bar to throw back a bourbon or two, watch a ball game, maybe talk to a pretty lady. Huh? Your joint served me my bourbon with a paper umbrella, had a Streisand picture on the set, and the only lady I talked to was named Carl. What gives, I tell you? What gives?
Hey.
Where's all the skirts and dames?
I have no idea. I don't like women. What? I don't look at women. I don't need women.
Well, fella, I need women like I need booze, I'll tell you that right now, and every red-blooded male that I've ever met says the same.
Well, I'm a red-blooded male, I'm a tax-paying, hard-working man, and I like...
I don't like the cut of your jib, fella.
You probably wouldn't be able to f*** your way out of a paper bag.
I could f*** my way out of a cardboard box.
Well, if you got big muscles and a big why don't you come on in?
What's your sign?
You see there?
Oh, wait a minute. What the hell is going on? See, this is what you people do, isn't it? All the bars in this town, and I gotta walk into this sissy hole. Why, I oughta... I'm slightly intrigued, but that don't mean nothing, you understand?
Well, if you're slightly intrigued, why don't you come on in? My name is Ed. I'm a pretty muscular guy.
You're felching up the wrong leg, fella, let me tell you.
Come on, you're probably getting a little boner right now.
My God, I haven't had this feeling since summer camp.
You see there, buddy? Why don't you come on in and explore?
What in God's name is happening with my body?
I'm telling you, why don't you come on in and let us really explore where you're at?
Now, this is crazy, Dick. You like dames, you understand? You like dames.
It's okay to like guys, too.
Oh, look, my Maltese Falcon is doing a military salute.
You see there? Come on in, buddy.
No. What's your name?
My name is Ed. Why don't you come on in and... Next thing you know, when somebody's, looking down at your wanker, and your wanker is feeling good...
Ed, would you do me a favor? Would you say wanker one more time?
Wanker.
Would you say it again?
Wanker.
Would you say it again, Ed?
Wanker.
Ed, would you say it one more time?
Wanker.
Oh, God! Oh, God! What was that? What just happened? What in God's name just happened? Oh, God, brand new pair of loafers. Good God!
You see there? You knew you wanted to do that.
Ed, let me tell you something. I'm going to come down there and make out with you, but I want you to do something. I want you to keep those gay guys away from me, all right?
That sounds like such a great idea.
I'll be the straightest guy you ever said.
Explore those feelings and come on in.
Ed, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Goodbye, Ed.
What's up? I'm Joe Rogan, and you are listening to 97.1 Free 2HD. Now, there's not a whole lot of people listening, so you're amongst rare company. This is a privileged few that are listening to this super cool HD radio thing that you're listening to right now. You're ahead of the curve.
This is the Adam Carolla Show.
But I'm like a lot of white folks in the South who won't admit it, though. I'll tell you the truth. I got some black blood in me. What's up? Yeah, I wish I got that big That'd have been cool, you heard? Yeah, instead I got bad credit. Ain't that a bitch? That's how it goes. That's how it goes. Either big or bad credit every time. That and a couple of sickle cells is about all I got.
And now Ralphie May is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Ralphie May, what's happening, my brother?
Man, nothing shaking but me. How y'all doing? Good morning, everybody.
Ralphie and I go way back, at least. I guess I met you through Jeff Ross.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Uh-huh.
And probably hung out with you in New Orleans,
yeah,
I do believe.
Where I tried to kill you and everybody along with y'all with marijuana. Yes. I didn't quite succeed, but I gave it a good try.
Well, you may have succeeded with Dave Damashek, who somehow retreated to his room and just started vomiting nonstop.
You had a shoebox of pot at that time?
No, not then. That was Christmas weed. That was weed that got mystical, so stoned he messed up his one hit like 9 times at MTV Mardi Gras. Yeah. And I mean, like, he literally had to do 9 takes on his only song, his only hit. He had 9 hits.
Ralphie had it was a steamer trunk full of weed at that particular point.
Yeah, that one was a steamer trunk. Yeah, that was about 2 ounces.
Well, as I've said, here's the problem with weed. Weed passed me by. It got too good. You remember back in the day, you'd smoke pot, and then the guy'd go, "Are you high?" And
Do you feel anything?
And you go, I don't. I think I'm high.
Maybe.
And then one guy would go, "Dude, you're so stoned." And you go, "I don't feel anything." And you really
just start
giggling. You couldn't tell, because if you took a No. 2 pencil, broke it in half, lit one end on fire, and tried to suck real hard on the other end, you would get a head rush. I mean, you would feel high, and then when you put the pencil down, you'd go, "I think I'm high. I'm not sure if I'm high." Well, now everything is crystals and purple hairs on it, and it's sticky. I mean,
it's definitely gone up a lot of notches. Lot of notches.
Too many, one could argue.
definitely to be, used to, you could, like, you know, you could smoke a joint and go with your buddies and, like, you know, drive a little bit.
Right.
Now you can't operate a car. You can't, like, where does the key go? I don't know. We're in outer space.
The good news is I can't operate a doorknob, so I never do get to the car. But yes, pot is now officially too good, and don't get me started on the pot brownies, because, I love pot brownies, but it's a commitment.
Yeah, you gotta have like a 10-hour window.
You gotta have some
where
time
blocked
off.
You got nothing
off.
Really planned, you know? Like,
right.
Oh, great! There's a Family Guy marathon. Awesome.
Right. That's the way it works. Like, you know, if you want to smoke some weed, you're gonna be high for a good 2-3 hours. But if you're gonna eat some weed, figure on the weekend. And anyway, I think Ralphie was getting everyone high out of their minds in New Orleans. Probably the first time I saw him.
Working on the man show or just hanging out?
No, I was just hanging out. I was down there earlier in the week for the Super Bowl. That was like the perfect storm weekend. It was Super Bowl weekend and then Mardi Gras right after that.
Right.
And so it was brutal. I stayed down for I went down for the Super Bowl, and I stayed down with Ross. He said, "Yeah, help me out right on this MTV thing." Okay, no problem. I mean, I'm here. Let's just hang out. And that was one of the craziest weeks I've ever had.
Yeah, Marty, I mean, again, it's Mardi Gras meets the Super Bowl, literally, in New Orleans. I mean, if Mardi Gras met the Super Bowl in Provo, Utah, it would still be a party, but this is New Orleans, and you could only imagine the debauchery that took place.
We were so stoned, we went to Britney Spears' Crossroads premiere.
Oh, really?
And
you
like
went to the premiere of her movie?
Me and Ross, we were so high. And I remember that was the first time I'd ever been in a limo. Was going in with Ross over to the MTV premiere. And we're sitting in front of, no doubt, Gwen Stefani and that other kind of creepy Indian-looking dude.
Mm-hmm.
And that other guy over there. And then we're only like 10 feet away from Britney Spears. And in the opening scene, she's dancing around to like a virgin or something. In mm-hmm. her underwear, and I'm like, "It's a hit! It's a hit!" Who knew how far that was going to fall?
I got to tell you, Ralphie, I'm sure you've done this before, and I will. It'll be my little FYI for everyone else out there. Get good and stoned before you see a movie, and then enjoy it all over again a year later when it comes out on cable, because you can. A, enjoy the movie more when you're baked, depending on what kind of movie it is. And then B, forget everything about it before you get into your car, before you get back to your home. And then when it comes out on cable 9 months later and you're just sitting around, not stoned, you'll enjoy the movie and see
I had no idea it had this many facets. I know.
Right.
I saw that. But also pick your movie wisely. Okay? Like go see the new Will Ferrell movie, Stoned.
Yeah,
that's a great one.
Don't see little children like I did.
Yeah, or Atonement. Oh, yeah, my God. Right. I was snoring. That movie was so boring. My wife took me there, and I was. She didn't know I was high. I had those breath strips.
Hold on. She married you.
I know.
So, A, she must have been high. And B, she must have known you were high because you're high all the time. How did she not know you were high?
I hid it. You know, no, I'm not stoned. As I take a breath strip and just get retarded. Breath strips are way stronger than even the marijuana, dude. Right. They're like one of these little thin little breath strips. Okay, doesn't smell. It tastes kind of bad, but it doesn't last that long, and you don't smell it coming out of your mouth. And
the
man,
ones that just stick to the roof of your mouth.
Yeah. And oh my God, that is Dum Dumville. Oh.
Well, I want to say this about Ralph, and I'm just going to take an educated guess. But if you fell asleep during Atonement, I'm guessing you saw some logs when you go down. I'm just sizing you up literally and
you
say
know,
you're
I don't
not
have
one
sleep
of these silent. You're not one of these silent sleepers.
I am. But when I sit up, okay. When I'm down, no problem. But when you're up, you know, your mouth just okay, like that, and my wife's just punching me, and she's like, fine. And she actually let me sleep and went down like two rows to stay away from me. She totally abandoned me. Just left me there, just snoring.
That's so sad. I picture you there all alone with maybe a raisinette on your lip.
No. Those are long gone, sister. I'm a professional fat guy. I would never leave a delicious raisinette anywhere on my mouth.
I'm the same way in that I don't believe. Here's what I do. Everything I eat is based on how much I paid for it. If you give me food for free, I'll leave it on the plate.
Right.
If I paid for it, here's a good example. Do you ever order a bottled water at a movie theater? I've done that before. It's like $6 for bottled water.
Yeah.
And my wife will order one, and then we'll be walking out of the theater, and there'll be a little spittle at the bottom of it, and I'll be like, honey, pick it up. She'll be like, what? We're drinking it. Take it to the car. It's a nickel worth of water, but the point is you just got done paying $6 for it, thus not going to leave it. Same with candy and popcorn. I don't think I've ever gone to a movie theater, got anything to eat at the concession stand, and not finished it completely. As a matter of fact, they must have the highest ratio of food completion of any place
anywhere
that sells food. There's no such thing as a doggy bag for Milk Duds.
No. And you see creepy people walk out with their little, like, popcorn bag rolled up and going home. Who does that?
I don't know.
Hey, I've got this extra popcorn I'm just going to take. What are you going to feed birds?
No, I do the move where I capsize the bucket on my head and tap the bottom.
Yeah. Tapping the bottom.
Just in case there's an unpopped kernel that the imitation butter flavoring has spot welded to the corner of the thing.
I had a classy move. We did a live show at the Palms in Vegas, and after the show, I was half into a bottle of Jim Beam.
Drunk.
And I was a little peckish, needed a snack, and I noticed they have a movie theater in there.
Yeah, I know.
And I thought, I don't want your movie, but I gotta have that popcorn. So I went in and I bought a tub of popcorn, and then I sat at the blackjack table.
Power move.
And I feasted on the popcorn.
Wow. They let you play cards with the popcorn
and
the butter hand?
Yes. And then the pit boss changed, and he's like, ma'am, you can't eat that here.
Ma'am, yeah, you're marking all the face cards with grease.
I had a solid 45 minutes of eating the popcorn.
That's a strong 45, though. I got to give it up to you.
That is a power move, by the way.
How was
going
that vomit,
to a
by
theater
the way?
Just to buy food.
Yep.
Ralphie May in studio. Ralphie's going to be at the Grove in Anaheim Saturday, March 22nd, 8 p.m. You can go to RalphieMay.com for tickets. Ooh.
I'm also with Jeffrey Ross.
Ah, yes. And Ross going to be at the Grove in Anaheim as well?
Yes.
Well, there is a power couple. Jeff Ross, Ralphie May. Ralphie, always great to see you. Thanks for stopping
by. Thank
you, brother. Thank you so much. We should also mention that his first CD, Just Right, just went platinum.
Oh, Just Correct is platinum. The Girth of a Nation just went platinum, and they're saying Prime Cut, the new album, will hit it before the summer.
Good times. Ralphie May, one of the nicest guys in the business. And speaking of nice guys, Kenny Rogers going to be joining us. It's a long story. I'll explain.
Are you serious? Kenny Rogers going to be here?
He's like on the phone calling from Nashville or something, but
love
he will be
on
the phone with the what a shocker. No stranger to the broasted chicken,
no,
huh?
No, man, that roaster's is good. Get in my mouth. Mashed potatoes and two-piece dark.
We'll take ourselves a break. Kenny Rogers, Music Monday, next.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, your station for the Adam Carolla Show, 24-7, 365, 6,492,005. There's just a lot of Carolla. Face it, you love crank yankers. Well, here's another one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Good evening, Alternative.
Hi, I'm calling about the ad in the paper, the Alternative Counseling Center job.
Could you give me your name and telephone number and someone get back to you? I'm the receptionist.
This is Bobby Fletcher.
Hold on, honey. Say your last name.
F-L-E-T-C-H-E-R.
F-L. Wait a minute. Okay.
Fletcher,
your telephone number.
Are you retarded? It's.
Am I retarded?
I'm sorry?
Did you say am I retarded?
No. No. What'd you say, telephone number?
Yes.
Okay.
Six 6090. Okay.
Okay, now, so what is this for the part-time counsel, right? Has it been filled yet?
I don't think so.
Talking to the phone, you slob.
Pardon me?
It hasn't been filled yet?
No, I don't think so. I didn't hear nobody say that it was filled.
Okay, now this is a part-time drug educator, too, for these kids that are messed up on drugs?
Right.
Right, okay. So I talked to... Could you hold 1 second? My roommate just came in the room. Just 1 second?
Sure.
Did you get the weed? Okay, cool. We'll smoke a bowl in a minute. Okay. Hello?
Yes?
Okay, sorry about that. So what do? Basically, just answer the phones?
Yes.
Yeah, because it seems like you're not that well-educated.
Ooh, what you mean that I'm not that well-educated?
No, I didn't mean it like that.
Excuse me. You're not going to talk to me like that,
miss,
because I will relate this message to Linda, and you will not be coming in here. You will not be talking to me. Have a nice day.
Miss, I didn't mean it that way.
I'm Judah Friedlander, 100% steroid-free world champion, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Right now, Kenny Rogers is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let me explain what happened to those who do not know. Norm MacDonald was in here, and we were talking about everything and anything with Norm MacDonald, and I'll tell Kenny Rogers himself. Kenny Rogers?
I'm right here.
Great to speak to you. So, comedian Norm MacDonald from...
We were talking about gambling.
Right. Now, let's just make sure Kenny knows who Norm MacDonald is.
Oh, I know who Norm is, of course, sure.
Okay, good. He would be delighted to hear that, except for he doesn't get up till 2 p.m. every day. But
let's call and wake him up.
He called. It would be more revive him than wake him up. But either way.
That guy sounds hot.
Norm was in here, I think it was like last Thursday, and we started talking, and for some reason your name came up.
I know why, because he said some of the advice in The Gambler isn't good advice.
Right. He is an
he said you always count your money.
He's addicted
and
to
he shouldn't run.
He's addicted to online gambling, and he said that you gave some poor advice in The Gambler, the song. And then I think I brought up the range that Kenny Rogers has, because I said, well, he was in the first edition many years ago and did a song called Just Dropped In to See What Condition My Condition Was In, which a lot of people don't associate with Kenny Rogers. Go ahead, Kenny, sorry.
That song was voted the number one drug culture song of all time. How's that?
By Adam Carolla.
By Adam Carolla.
It is now. Did you write this song?
No, a friend of mine, Mickey Newberry, wrote it. I let him experience it and write about it, and I sang about it.
And this is Kenny Rogers, of course, long before Ruby and The Gambler and The Coward of the County. And all that stuff. And then we started talking about you doing songs like You Decorated My Life. And I thought, who has more range? Who has done this beautiful ballad and the super drug charge Just Dropped In? And then Norm suggested we break down the song Ruby. Now, did you write Ruby?
No, Mel Tillis wrote Ruby.
Mel Tillis?
Wow. Yeah.
What does he know about Vietnam and cheating?
Well, the interesting thing is that song was written about the Korean War.
Oh.
But it's a crazy Asian war, and everybody
right.
thought it was the Vietnam War. It was released during the time of the Vietnam War.
Interesting.
Huh. So that song is a song about a guy who goes to the Korean conflict, comes back with his legs bent and paralyzed, and you tell me, but his hot young bride is stepping out to town to find some loving, right?
That's what it sounds like to me.
And he wants to shoot her.
Well, who wouldn't, you know, under those conditions, you know?
Yeah, he's bent and paralyzed, and she's walking out on him to get some love in town?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if he could move, he would get his gun and put her in the ground. I suppose the part...
I don't think you can expect her to hand it to him, though, I'll tell you that.
I was going to say, that's a tough sell. Hey, sweetie, could you give me my gun so I could put you in the ground? I'm bent and paralyzed. You know what I would... You know, Kenny, you know what I would do? I would mix it into a longer list of things.
Okay.
I would say, like, hey, sweetie, could you go ahead and get me a hand towel? Give me the pepper grinder. Oh, and get me my gun so I can put you in the ground. You know what I would put? I'd pad the list.
Yeah, stick it in the middle.
Disguise to it. Yeah, be a little smarter than that. Absolutely.
So, Kenny Rogers, this is a surreal thrill. So here we were talking about you. We got into Ruby, and then Norm brought up Coward of the County.
Right.
And it seemed Coward of the County is one of these songs that was going along quite nicely until the gang rape scene in the middle of it.
It seemed shocking.
It did turn right, didn't it? Yeah, it's
wrong.
Everybody was having a good time till then.
And Kenny, the three brothers who gang raped poor Becky, what were their names?
The Gatlin brothers.
Now, how did that go?
Wasn't there a popular act called the Gatlin Brothers?
Oh, sure. We used to work together all the time. And they thought I had written that. I said, I didn't. Hey, I got nothing to do with this. You know, this was handed to me this way. And for years, they thought it was written about
them. Don't shoot the messenger.
Right. But, Kenny, you were good friends with the Gatlin Brothers.
Oh, sure.
And the Gatlin Brothers were the folks named in the song that gang raped Becky.
Yeah.
Right. Now, all I'm saying is if I was doing a song that someone else wrote and the brothers were called the N-Word Brothers,
right.
I would probably say, let's just go ahead and change it to the Smith Brothers. You know what I mean? A little artistic license.
Gatlin had a real nice ring to it.
You know?
Plus, I enjoyed their being uncomfortable.
Okay. You were all good friends, though, that you and the Gatlin brothers.
We're great friends. They traveled with me for a long time.
Now, how many? I know in the song, Coward of the County, there were three Gatlin brothers, but in real life, please tell me there were three actual Gatlin brothers.
There were three actual Gatlin brothers.
And if you listen to the song just after Becky is gang raped by the Gatlin brothers, Kenny Rogers stops and goes, there were three.
Yeah. There were three of them.
Which almost sounds like a direct message to the actual Gatlin brothers.
Just one more quick shot before we get out. Yeah. I have to tell you, I loved that because it really, really made them angry. But angry in a fun way. They said exactly what you said. Aren't there other names you could have picked? I said, I didn't pick this one. I'm the messenger. Don't shoot me.
Well, the thing that's funny about calling them the Gatlin brothers is you didn't rhyme Gatlin with anything.
Easily could have been swapped out.
No question.
That's
there were
right.
Thousands of names that it would have fit better, but it wouldn't have been near as much fun.
Could have been the Wittenbergs,
Wittenberg,
the Meskimens,
Corolla Brothers.
There were three of them. Is Coward of the County the most depressing song you've ever recorded?
It's probably in my top three or four. Yeah. You know, interestingly enough, and I don't know why, a lot of it is, you know, I do a lot of medleys, and so I get a lot of the songs in, and I don't. If I go to these foreign countries and I forget that they live by every word of these songs, and in Ruby I just drop the verse about him being paralyzed and all this other stuff. And in the Coward of the County, I dropped the verse about her ever being raped. So if you just listen to it, they're like in a bar, and all of a sudden this guy stands up and starts a fight with some people for no reason. You don't know she was even raped.
Right.
And I realized that one night. I thought, well, that's got to be bizarre.
I wouldn't be bumped by that. Yeah, because the Coward of the County, you leave the rape part off, he just walks into a bar and beats the crap out of the Gatlin brothers for no good reason, completely unprovoked.
And you know how violent those Swedish people can be when they get pissed off.
Sure.
Right. No, that is an important plot point.
They're worse than the Gatlin brothers. Some would say a Swede scorn is worse than the Gatlin brothers on a bad day.
It was brutal. I mean, I was over there singing that song, and I could see it in their faces.
So, Kenny Rogers, again, no man with any more range in music than Kenny. And, Kenny, we have some of your dates, by the way. And when you do your dates, you will, because you have so many hits and so many songs, and you can't do a 9-hour concert, you will do sort of a montage of the songs, yes?
Yeah, and I do She Believes in Me, You Decorated My Life through the years as a medley. So they're each shortened so that it becomes like 1 6-minute song instead of 3 3-minute songs.
Mm-hmm. Now, you were telling us how that song was written by this guy and this song was written by that guy. How much of the songs that you sing did you write yourself, if any?
Well, I wrote a few of them, probably none you would know. I wrote a song called Sweet Music Man that I used to do. I played guitar. I actually wrote it for Waylon Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote that, and then I wrote a couple of things that were, you know, top 10 country records, but nothing like Ruby or Coward of the County and Daytime Friends or The Gambler and Lucille. None of those. I take great pride in not writing big hits.
Me too.
Yeah.
Kenny's going to be, by the way, in Tacoma, Washington on April 20th and San Ynez, California on the 24th. Also in Reno, Nevada on the 25th at the Silver Legacy Hotel and Las Vegas, May 2nd through the 4th at the Orleans Casino. You can just go to KennyRogers.biz for more information and dates. And, Kenny, when you come out to Los Angeles, please come to the studio and pay us a visit.
Oh, I'd love that. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate you guys calling me. And if you need me again, just get in touch with the office. We're here.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thanks, Kenny.
Next
Thanks,
time,
guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Next time Norm MacDonald comes in here and goes on a crazy jag, we'll do it. Yeah, and we don't have time to break down Ruby or Coward of the County anymore, but there were three of them. I just love the fact that he was touring with the Gatlin brothers, who he decided would be the rapist in Coward of the County.
And now he leaves out certain verses of those songs, making them extremely confusing to the Swedes.
Right.
And by the way, that crazy Asian war was the Korean War.
Huh. Yes. And I think it was Crazy Asiatic War for some reason. Let's listen to a little Ruby, if we could. Bald Brian is the world's saddest, most depressing song, written by Mel Tillis.
I think I would enjoy a Kenny Rogers concert.
I would too.
Go.
Now it is Asian War. You're right.
But I was proud to go. I guess it came out during the Vietnam War.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, it's true that I'm not the man I used to be.
So he can't love her anymore. He's not the man he used to be.
And he takes out the verse about the speaker being paralyzed.
Bent.
Some company.
He's not the man he used to be, but he still needs some company. Even if he can't perform sexually,
he can give.
He's bent and paralyzed.
Tough to love.
And the wants and the needs of a woman your age, Ruby.
He's got a young bride who likes it in the sack, and he can't give it to her from the wheelchair.
But it won't be long, I've heard them say, until I'm not around.
Doctor's giving him a couple weeks. Doesn't matter.
They want health.
She's got to get laid.
This Ruby's no saint, but neither is the singer.
Don't take your love to town.
Who decides to sit down and write this song?
It was during the Vietnam War. It's a different time.
Oh, here it comes.
The way I know, I've heard it slam 100 times before.
Best line of the song here.
And if I could move, I'd get my gun and put her in the ground. Don't take your love to town.
There's this very pathetic plea at the end when he just goes, for God's sake, turn around.
For God's sakes, turn around.
So I can shoot you in the sternum.
The producer coming over the headphones like, no, more pathetic.
Yeah.
More pathetic than that.
No, don't sing, for God's sake, turn around. Just do it in the Kenny Rogers voice.
Turn around.
Very plaintive.
All right, we need to take a break. So that inspired this Music Monday. Acts, people, folks like Kenny Rogers when he was in the first edition, then going on to Islands in the Stream, singing about crazy drug-driven songs, and then into duets with, love duets with Dolly Parton. People, artists who have had the most range. Softest song to the hardest song, angriest song to the nicest song.
I very much enjoyed getting my selections, by the way, for this. Very much looking forward to
it. I have mine. T has hers. Ball Bryan has his. Music Monday, most range, next.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Jim Gaffigan.
I do love food. I love eating late at night, too. You know, you're not supposed to eat late at night. And then again, you're not supposed to drink booze in the morning. And apparently you're never supposed to smoke crack. Well, whatever. I'm not training for the Olympics, you know? But we're a country that loves to eat, you know? Once a week on the news, they have a piece on American obesity. They'll show a big person walking. They won't show their face, but that person knows it's them. Well, that shirt looks familiar. Oh, crap. Poor guy gets to work. Hey, Bell, saw your fat ass on the news. I know.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
I'm Juliana Rancic, formerly DePandy, until I got married, and you are listening to 97.1 32 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for People on the Radio with Large Heads, and that's why I love this place.
It's Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show, and Adam, T, and Brian, we're going to try to show you the disparity between songs from the same artist. For example, how do you get from this to this?
Hey now.
It's Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show.
Oh, you killer.
Yeah. Dig the Range.
Everlast.
Started off with some Kenny Rogers talk and spilled right into Music Monday. All right. This was tougher than I thought. I thought it would be a layup. And what I was trying to do is not just find fast and slow songs by the same artist, but very different from a genre standpoint, although I did cop out and do a couple of fast and slow ones. But most of them, and hopefully most of them, are different from a sort of texture feel as well. Number one, I'm going to start with Dion. Dion and the Belmonts.
This is when Jack Silver drives right into the pole.
Oh, by the way, I got the list of songs coming up. He better drive in now. Save himself the trouble.
Nobody more current than Dion and the Belmonts. But a very 50s, if you listen to this song, very...
They don't even know my name. They call me the Wanderer.
The Wanderer is what we used to call guys who rambled before we figured out they rambled. Every third song was about a guy who went to a different port and nailed a new chick.
Right. Often featuring lists of the girls.
Right.
This girl's on the right, this girl's on the left,
early
this guy's
rappers.
Left behind. Yeah.
I like this guy, too. He's honest, because when they ask him which one, when all the ladies he's betting ask him which one he loves the best, which, by the way, it was a simpler time. Like, hey, I know you're nailing 50 other broads. Which one do you like the best? When they ask him which one he likes the best, he tears open his shirt.
No words.
And shows him the rosy on his chest.
It's a brazen move.
He's got a tattoo on his chest of the one he likes the best.
did also know Dion from Runaround Sue.
Yeah. Right.
Now, what's the contrasting song?
Well, it's funny because Dion has Runaround Sue, which is probably his biggest song, which is I run around myself. That's cool. But stay away from Sue. She runs around.
She's
hey, talk about the double standard. Dion and the double standard. I'm bragging. I'm nailing everything that moves in every town in the country. But you, this chick Sue, she's on other guys' arms. Mm-hmm. All right. So there's the Super 50s doo-wop-y. And now we go into the Dion of the late 60s. He's no longer wandering.
He's
wondering what happened to Abraham, Martin, and John. This is the sappiest song of all time.
Lincoln and Van Buren?
Van Buren.
Can you tell me where he's gone? Can you believe this is the same guy?
It's tough to sing about this with Rosie tattooed on your chest. People don't take it seriously in the beatnik clubs. You know, I just looked
around and he's singing about guys who were shot in the head, basically. With the Rosie, still tatted on his chest. I like the harp. Anybody here see my old friend John? Can you tell me where he's gone? I think he's talking about John Waters, right? He freed a lot of people. T, you don't know this song?
No.
This should have been pumping all through your mom's hippie coffee shop. Sacred Grounds.
Yeah. This might have been just before that. It's in the late 70s.
Mm-hmm. So he's singing about Abraham Lincoln and Martin Luther King and John Kennedy, of course.
Okay.
Same guy, Dion. One minute he's wandering around, nailing everything that moves, and the next minute he's singing about Martin Luther King. Little range there. Now let's have some fun. Any excuse to play a little Spinal Tap.
But you know the sex bomb. Trying to raise some hard love. Getting out my pitch.
One of the greatest exchanges in this movie is when they're explaining how far the band has come. Creatively, and it's like when we were young, we just started off writing this sort of dribble, this sort of, you know, adolescent garbage. We weren't doing things like Sex Farm. Shiloh's rising high. All right. Well, there you go. Sex Farm. And then, of course, this one from the same band.
Cups and cakes. Cups and cakes.
I forgot about this one.
Oh, what good thing. Mother mess. You've got a take two. Won't you take it with me? What a gay time it will be. Cups and cakes. Cups and cakes. Please make sure that nothing breaks. The china's so dear and the treacle so clear. And I'm glad that you are here.
All right. Well, again, it's a joke band, but still, they write better songs than most rock bands. And I would argue Lick It Up, a much funnier song than anything. Anything that Spinal Tap could spoof in the mid-80s. Let's go on to a guy. Well, I don't even know if you know who sings this song.
Man got his woman to take his seat.
Ooh, forgot about that line.
She got the need.
pick his seed. What the hell?
Pleasing up a man.
Pleasing up.
Feeds and dinner, oh, anything she can.
What the hell's that mean?
She cries alone at night too often.
Feeds him anything she can.
She smokes and drinks and don't come home at all.
Is her name Ruby?
Only women bleed.
Oh no.
Only women bleed.
This is no longer an heavy rotation. Women bleed.
Top 20 song. T, any guesses?
Man makes your head gray.
His voice sounds a little familiar, but I can't place it.
All right, well, let's play the next song, and we'll see if you can figure out who that is. This one's called Feed My Frankenstein.
You know this person.
You know him well, T. Alice Cooper, everybody.
Scratch golfer.
Scratch golfer with a snake around his neck, and golfing with a boa constrictor around your neck is no easy task.
Difficult.
Man's got a lot of range.
Yeah.
Singing. Talking about women, only women bleeding, and feeding his Frankenstein, everybody. All right, we have your songs, we have our songs. I'm going to give myself a B thus far.
Solid B.
Solid B. We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, T, Bald Brian, you have your own.
Heck yeah.
Lots of people calling up. Oh, and by the way, how about this? The caller with the best suggestion, $500, courtesy of No Country for Old Men. Available on DVD and Blu-ray starting tomorrow. By the way, they didn't need to give us $500 for that. I would have recommended that movie anyway. $500. We'll talk to you. We'll talk to T. We'll talk to Bald Brian. Music Monday next.
You know me. I'm all about the European keys. And so is my man, Adam Carolla. And you can catch him right here on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
KLSX HD2 Los Angeles. This is 97.1 Free HD2, SoCal's high-definition FM talk station.
More Music Monday on the Adam Carolla Show. So how do you get from this to this? Artists with incredible range. On Music Monday, on the Adam Carolla Show.
Kenny Rogers couldn't have been nicer, by the way.
I know. He really was lovely.
All right. So, we were playing the rangiest artists. And, again, not necessarily all about slow to fast, but sort of breaking through to different genres. Like, I don't know, a rap artist doing a country album or something like that. T, you have yours. Bald Brian, you have yours. You people have yours as well. And we're giving $500 away, courtesy of the No Country for Old Men folks, available on DVD and Blu-ray starting tomorrow for the best example of that. T, how about you get started?
Okay, I didn't dig down very deep, but this guy has range. First, this.
Little Elvis. Sure.
Singing about a teddy bear.
Yep.
And then he's singing about the cycle of poverty and violence in urban America.
The ghetto. Love this song.
Great song.
And his mama cried.
On a cold and gray Chicago morning, a poor little baby child is born.
I didn't even think of Elvis, but true.
And his
he was advised not to record this because it was too dark. But he loved this song.
Man, if you listen to this song, I don't know that you're going to do much better lyric for lyric than this song. It's not only a poignant song, it's not only a great melodic song, but when you really just listen to the whole song and you have the whole cycle repeat itself, it's really powerful.
It does have a great melody.
Are they too blind to see? All right. Good example, Bald Brian.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Well, I know this is a band you don't like personally. You don't really care for these guys. But they're one of my favorite bands, Blur. And when I talk about Blur, most people don't know they did this song. It's a big hit for them.
Mm-hmm. Only because they were drunk and a-holes when I met them. That's the only thing I have against them. But I do love this song, except for the lyrics.
Yeah.
I got a Chamoque and a jet plane. I don't know what the hell the lyrics are to this song.
I got my head checked.
I got my head checked.
By a jumbo jet.
By a jumbo jet.
A jumbo jet. By a jumbo jet.
It wasn't easy.
He got his head checked.
By a jumbo jet. It's a song, it's supposed to be a silly parody of sort of Nirvana and the bands that were big in the early 90s. But anyway, they have a tremendous amount of range. One of my favorite bands, they do with this song we use for a bump-in.
Oh, this is Blur as well?
Yeah, it's kind of a gay song, but nonetheless, a good song. And they also, they had a lot of hits in England, none over here. They have range. Listen to this. You might appreciate this. Just a very wide palette of sounds.
I can dig it. All right.
That's Blur.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm going to get a little closer to the mainstream and give you this song from I think the Amboy Dukes. Taking a journey to the center of your mind. Much like Kenny Rogers did in the late 60s with the First Edition, this man, Ted Nugent, had to write a sort of drug-fueled psychedelic song as well. Not quite as druggy as the Kenny Rogers just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in, but taking a journey to the center of your mind.
Come with us and find the pleasures of the journey to the center of the
a lot of taking journeys to your brain.
Yeah.
Nugent famous for claiming to never have done drugs, right?
Yes.
This must have been a very confusing time for him.
Take a ride to the land inside of your mind. All right, well, you get it. Then Ted, later on in 77, just got back to basics.
Drop
with
the
sing about Sweet Poontang. The thought-provoking follow-up to you can yank me, you can crank me, but don't wake up and thank me.
Right, that can be interpreted in a variety of ways.
Sure, it's a metaphor for... No taking any journeys to the center of anyone's mind. Actually, I think he's trying to find the center of your behind, actually, in this one.
Oh, no.
All right, Ted Nugent for you. T, what do you got?
Okay, this is going to blow your mind, but it does involve another genre.
Mm-hmm.
So just give this a listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Okay, you're not going to believe it, but this is the same. That's Bach, and so is this.
Sebastian Bach.
Yeah. You're going heady on us, T?
Understand how Sebastian Bach could have composed both songs. I'm confused.
Ah, little wordplay there. I like that. Beat us on a technicality. But do you think that's his real name?
Sebastian Bach from Skid Row?
Yeah. It sounds like a made-up name, but there are other Bachs out there.
I know a real guy named Sebastian Bach. He's my age. He's a musician, and he tried to get signed, and they told him to change his name from Sebastian Bach. His real name is Sebastian Bach.
Hmm.
Poor guy.
Of course, nice. The first guy is Johan.
Yeah. Nice job, T-Bone. Hey, do you got line five, by the way?
Let's see.
Bald Brian? Because I want to talk to, we may have a winner here. Cody?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What do you got for us, Cody?
Well, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but one of the pioneers of punk music, the New York Dolls. I was sitting there
all alone. Right.
I was praying. Lead singer David Johansen, same guy.
David Johansen, right. New York Dolls, super punk.
Hot. Right. Buster Poindexter.
Right. Yeah, so he did New York Dolls.
Right.
Hardcore, New York, punk, the vanguard of the whole movement.
Yep.
Mid-70s, later mid-70s.
Crossdressers.
Then later on, goes on to do... He's called Buster Poindexter here, but David Johansen. Yeah. I can't help but I like this song, by the way. Used at the end of every movie, not in the body of the movie.
As the credits roll.
At the end, as a credits roll. Every movie made in the 90s. That's good stuff. Yeah, New York Dolls to this.
That is range. I saw a documentary about the Dolls. They had a reunion, and Buster Poindexter had really made it big compared to the other guys.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Sold out.
One of whom who had really had a tough time with drugs and was sick and became a Mormon.
Yeah, good guy. I've interviewed him a few times.
Buster?
Yeah. All right, well, you get the picture. I say we have a leader in the clubhouse for the $500. Bald Brian, what do you got going?
Well, I'm not eligible for the $500, but when people think of the band Chicago, they normally think of these big 80s power ballads.
So
they sort of turned into robo-band. You couldn't tell instruments from other instruments. They're sort of piano-y and keyboard-y and synth-y and pretty much ballless and toothless.
And I hope I don't step on you, but people forget about 25 or 6 to 4 and songs that used to rock that the same band did.
Chicago rocked. Chicago, this is actually my dad's number one favorite band, Chicago. Mm-hmm. And I grew up being surrounded Chicago all the time. And just the old Chicago, they were like a jazz blues fusion band like that rocked but had a great horn section.
So they rocked first.
And chopped off their own nuts, and Peter Cetera became a big star.
Great song. Sorry, I stepped on it. Now, do you know where the song got its name?
What is it, 25? What is it?
25 or 6 to 4.
Some jail term?
Mm-mm. If you listen to the lyrics, it's just about getting jacked up. It's sort of passing out. Closed his eyes.
Drug reference?
Sitting cross-legged on the floor. Love the horns.
Before you brought up 25 or 6 to 4, I was going to play this song, which is the first song of their first album. They were a great horn-driven rock, jazz, blues.
Yeah, they pussified at some point, somewhere around Karate Kid 3, but they were just a great band, yeah. 25 or 6 to 4 is more... he's so jacked up, he doesn't know what time it is. And somebody says, what time is it? And he says, it's 25 or 6. 25 or 26 to 4.
Okay,
so it's 3:30 in the morning, if you do that math. You with me?
Yeah.
Anyway, don't be afraid to tell the world you like Chicago, because they did good music at one point.
Well, I'm going to stick with that vein and go with a guy who was known for writing his melodic hits. Everyone remembers this hit from the early 80s. Little Joe Jackson for you. Got his horns and his swing and his jump and his jive going. What people don't remember is his first two albums were almost punk and angry. So this same guy did this next song, which is one of my all-time... If you're just angry and you're driving and you want to play some air drums or something, this is a song. He's saying, "I'm the man." He invented the hula hoop. He can sell you anything. I don't know why I love the drums on this song, but it sounds raw. He's just like the guy's pounding on a drum kit.
I feel bad because all along I've been blaming him for the bad deeds of Jackson Browne.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
I have bad news for everyone. We're going to have to hear the whole song.
No.
Yes. Because he freaks out at the end.
What about the $500 we got to give out? What if we
play it? He gave you the hula hoop. He gave you the yo-yo. He invented everything.
But he did not beat Daryl Hannah.
No.
Thank
Different
God.
Guy.
I can't separate the two.
I'm sorry. We're listening to the whole song. I just love the guy pounding on the drums. Turn up, ball boy. The whole song loaded. I can't even hear him freak out at the end. Oh, we do.
Freak out.
Oh, we don't. Oh, we'll get it. All right, wait a minute. Just turn it up anyway. I love this line. You don't get to hear him freak out.
That is a nice expression of hetero rage.
The last 20 seconds, he just starts freaking out, screaming, "I'm the man," and the guy's just pounding away on the drum kit.
I think Dawson can get it for us after the break.
All right. Well, maybe we should do that. Now, let's see. Someone else had a Joe Jackson reference, which was Jump and Jive and Got the Time, which was a very good but yet inside one. Somebody has a confusing one. Rob from Seattle. Rob?
Yes.
You say Golden Earrings, Radar Love, and Twilight Zone?
Yes.
That is retarded.
No, but they're about as far apart as you can possibly be.
Right. They're like the difference between an orange and a tangerine.
No.
Yes. I know the Twilight Zone song and I know Radar Love. They both sound like Golden Earring and they both sound like sort of medium paced rock songs.
One was late 70s, the other one was early 90s, the only two hits they ever had.
I'm sorry if they were 12 years apart, but they don't sound dramatically different. Listen, Rob, I'm going to let you get back to work at the Confusion Center or wherever you work.
He owes us $500.
Yeah, I'm going to give Cody the Buster Poindexter Hot, Hot, Hot New York Dolls.
Yeah,
I'm going to give him the
$500.
Hey, Cody?
Yeah?
I'm going to give you the $500.
That is awesome. Thank you, guys.
Do not spend it all in one place. We need to take a break. When we come back, I will get the last 20 seconds of On the Man just so I can rock out. T, in the news.
Well, she's also the man. Rosie O'Donnell has this to say on her blog.
I think you're fantastic, and I think you're a bold and brave and beautiful young man. And I admire you.
Who's the dude with tuberculosis behind Rosie when she's trying to do her blog?
I don't think it's a dude.
Oh, no. Wow, that was a lesbian cough. That was a chick. We'll take a quick break. Back with the news next.
You're listening to Free 2 HD.
Hey, y'all. It's the Valley Stud, and you know I'm always on that digital network. 97.1 Free 2 HD. Because I'm high, definitely. Or high definition.
Now, here's another great Crank Yankers episode on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Good evening, Alternative.
Hi, Gloria. It's Bobby Fletcher again. I didn't even give me the phone number to call or any information before you hung up.
Listen, you were very rude to me, and
miss,
that's not nice.
Miss, I wasn't
that,
rude.
Yes, you were. You burped in my ear.
You
told me that I wasn't that smart.
No, I didn't say that. Listen, I was talking to my roommate. He came in with a nickel bag full of pot, and he paid $50 for it. He knows it's only $30. That's why I was calling him stupid. I wasn't talking to you. But would you pay $50 for a nickel bag of pot?
I wouldn't pay 5 cents for a bag of pot. Well, I wouldn't pay nothing for it because I don't do it.
Okay.
The thing that you're doing, you don't need to be here.
No, because I got to relax. I'm going to talk to these punks. I need to be a little under the influence. I'm just going to smoke a joint real quick.
You won't get hired here, B. We don't hire nobody that does.
No, they're not going to even know. Believe me, I got Visine.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
You're talking to me. You're talking to somebody that do know.
No, hold on 1 second. That's way too much pot. We can't sell all that to the kids. That's, oh, man.
Oh, you
Gloria.
You won't get in here because I see Linda before you will.
I understand, Gloria. Just give me a second to talk to you for a second. We sell pot to kids.
I can't help it.
No, but this is what we do.
Sorry.
And then we get these counselor jobs because these kids get hooked on pot. That's how we make our money. We make money off them from the pot, and then they have to go to counsel, and we make more money.
No.
All right? That's what
no.
we do.
You're talking to
Gloria,
the wrong
do you know,
sister.
Gloria.
You don't scare me.
Huh?
You don't scare me.
I'm not trying to scare you, but I'm just saying.
Oh, yes, you are trying, too. You're trying, but listen at you. That is so bad. That is so ridiculous.
Miss.
That is so sad. Please
Gloria.
Do not call him with that attitude no
Gloria.
More.
Gloria, you sound really pretty.
That is so rude.
You know
that
what?
Is so rude.
Gloria, you love it. You know you do.
Please do not talk to me.
Gloria, I'm just trying to get this job.
I'm Jeff Garland, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station, where the FM stands for Grandma's Balls.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. In theaters March 21st, Adam Carolla in The Hammer.
So what happens at the regionals?
Well, if I win at the regionals, then I go to the nationals.
And if you win at the nationals?
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Success isn't exactly my DNA.
But if you did?
If I did, I go to the Olympics.
The Hammer, in theaters March 21st. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I would like to hear my last 30 seconds of I'm the Man from Joe Jackson.
The missing 38 seconds.
Here we go. This is why music shouldn't be too overproduced.
I'm a man.
we go. Now my mission is complete.
Good we time. Have another mission.
Yes. An apology to our Asian friends. We offended them once again. Norm MacDonald was in studio last week. I think we were picking apart the song Ruby. He used a derogatory term toward the some Asian groups.
It was often used by American servicemen during the Vietnam War.
That's right. And we did not dump it, nor did we say anything to Norm, and for that, we apologize. Now, T.
Yes.
The news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
John McCain was on 60 Minutes last night. He addressed the concern about his age. He
is 71. I'll give you a hint about the word. John McCain used it about 5 years ago when he was talking about his captors.
That's exactly right.
Yes.
He is 71 years old. He has suffered from a malignant form of skin cancer. But on 60 Minutes last night, McCain assures us that we don't need to worry about his health.
How's your health?
It's excellent. It's excellent. Excellent. Thank you. And we'll be doing the medical records thing with the media sometime in the next month or two.
There has been some criticism that you have not released your medical records. Mm-hmm. You're saying in this interview that you're about to do that.
All right. We'll do it in the next month or so. Yeah.
Is it fair to say that at this point in time, there's no sign of a recurrence of cancer?
No, there's none.
Then he did one of those one-arm push-ups, what's his name, did in the
Jack
Oscars.
Lance.
That's right. And then he said he had bowel movements bigger than whoever was interviewing him. It was good stuff.
He also addressed the reason why a lot of conservatives are unhappy that he's the Republican presidential candidate, which is to say his stance on immigration.
If they complied with some very stringent and rigid requirements, they could find themselves on a path to citizenship.
Yeah, I don't understand what the big deal is. Just go ahead and force the borders, and whoever else is here, we can deal with that when we deal with it.
That's what he's suggesting, which is to say amnesty.
Yeah, you know, look, there's no perfect solution. There's no one perfect solution. What's going on is there's a hole in the side of the ship. Water is pouring in the form of undocumented, uneducated, super poor Mexicans who are coming in from across the border. It's an issue. It's affecting a lot of things, especially in cities that are along the border. We're standing around arguing about what flag to run up the flagpole of the ship, what would be the right colors to show, so on and so forth. We're rearranging the deck chairs. Somebody go patch the hole, and then we can have the discussion. We keep arguing, what are we going to do with the water that's already gotten to the ship? Are we going to pump it out and throw it back into the ocean? That wouldn't be fair. A lot of the water that's in here's good, hard-working water. Look, whatever the argument is, there's a hole. Water's pouring in. Go patch the hole, and then we'll have the discussion. I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense to me. It sort of makes me think that there's some bigger picture that I'm not aware of. The border is porous. Speaking of porous, the poorest of Mexico are coming into this country. Let's patch up the holes in the border, then let's have a discussion about what should be done. I am, when people think I'm not, I'm much more moderate. My feeling is close the border, and if you made it in, you're in. Let's go to work and start paying taxes.
John McCain was also asked about waterboarding, and here's what he had to say about that on 60 Minutes.
Is waterboarding torture?
Yes, without a doubt.
So the United States has been torturing POWs.
Yes. We prosecuted Japanese war criminals after World War II, and one of the charges brought against them, for which they were convicted, was that they waterboarded Americans.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Still against waterboarding.
I like torture. That's just me.
Well, if you like torture, then you probably loved the singing of Danny Noriega on American Idol.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was unfair that he had to compete in the male category.
Oh.
This
yeah,
is not him. This is David Hernandez.
Sorry.
Danny Noriega is the one that posted the MySpace Naughty Santa song.
Yes.
He
right.
was the vote for the worst candidate. He looked a little like Anton Chigurh.
Mm-hmm.
Tainted Love.
Yeah. He should be not only thrown off American Idol, he should be thrown off this planet for singing this horrible, horrible song.
I love her.
She looked for a song with the word taint in it.
Rosie O'Donnell went a video blogging.
Oh, no.
She's got an offer for Dandy Noriega.
Isn't anything she does a blob, technically?
Video blob.
Danny, if you're watching, I don't know if you have to sit around the American Idol studio and like look sad for the next few weeks or something, because I think that's part of the contract. But a week from tomorrow, an Our Family Vacation cruise is leaving from San Diego for 1 week and going to Cabo San Lucas or somewhere down in Mexico.
Puerto Vallarta.
Thank you. Puerto Vallarta, says the mystery voice from beyond. That's Bobby Pierce.
That's the dude.
So, Dandy Noriega, Tainted Love Kid, you got a free cruise. You and a friend.
Yeah. Let me say a few things. How does it work with celebrities? How much FU money does Rosie have? You know what I mean? Where she can take a year off and just sit around and do her video blog. I mean, doesn't she have a lot of kids and dependents and multiple houses and so on and so forth? And I know she got paid well when she was working, but doesn't it seem like she spends an inordinate amount of time just sort of sitting at the computer, getting someone's working on her hair, and she's just talking into one of those little cameras, and there's nothing really coming out of her mouth?
She really needs to speak, be heard, and be seen.
Yes. But
I think she would die without her video blob. Blob.
I just like the idea that we change the name to Blob. Look, I've never thought I'd say this, but let's get her back on The View, because that show officially sucks without her.
It was so much better with her.
I know. I like to see her go at it with that little pixie.
That was fun when they did the split screen. Hasselbeck and she went at it.
They would argue. She would offer to dip her in Thousand Island and eat her. I feel like if she spilled just a little bit of ranch dressing on herself, she would have been consumed by Rosie in the first week.
Oh, yeah. There's a large danger of that around Rosie.
Like, if you went and if you got Elizabeth Hasselbeck and you just dumped, you know, they do the Gatorade dump.
Yeah.
If you just did the ranch dressing dump on her and then yelled, Rosie, and Rosie turned down the hall, she'd be gone before you even explained it.
Are you saying it's like swimming around sharks if you have your period?
That's exactly what it's like.
On her first day, Hasselbeck's putting ranch dressing at the craft services table on her salad, and Barbara Walters slaps out of her hands. What are you doing?
Don't you ever? Don't you get near that?
Not salad all over the place.
David Hernandez is still in the competition on American Idol. He was the male stripper at a mostly gay club. He's really paid his dues in the music
business. There's no such thing as mostly gay. It's either all gay or not.
Not the same thing, but all the news stories say mostly gay.
How's that going to work, by the way? Oh, partially bi? How's that? I'd love to be a great conversation. Hey, pal, we're going out to a strip club tonight.
What kind of strip club is it? I only go for the...
Mostly gay, but not totally gay. Come on, we're straight guys.
Well, I usually go for mostly straight, but I suppose one half of the dozen.
Yeah, sure.
Six of one half the dozen the other.
Yes, sure. Your T-cell count is half full. Mine's half empty. Come on. Let's go. It's mostly gay, but there are a couple of... Hey,
mostly gay implies some straight, yes?
Imagine how straight... Imagine how hungry the straight chick's there.
Oh.
Mostly gay.
He was stripping at mostly gay.
Let me explain who's not gay at the mostly gay club.
The girls?
No. The 300-pound black dude with the shaved head who stands at the door.
He's probably also gay, actually.
No. That is the only straight guy at the mostly gay strip club.
Stripping at the mostly gay club, David Hernandez also sang on a cruise ship in a performing group called the Vinyl Four.
I wonder if they do, by the way. I wonder if he ever, like, corrects his friends, like, when they're, like, yelling, hey, buddy, how about you go drop your pants at the gay club? Excuse me. Mostly gay, Dad.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, you are hearing his cover group, Tribe 7, in action.
Oh,
and
no.
I'll have you know, I do not drop my pants at the gay club. I show up without pants at the mostly gay club. How dare you?
Since when do you drop tearaway pants?
That's right. You're trying to drop chaps? I don't think so.
Well, you could hear his cover group Tribe 7 at bar mitzvahs, birthdays, and weddings.
Mostly gay.
This is a song that's mostly going to make you wildly angry.
Uh-oh.
Okay. As you know, the IRS has rebate checks going out.
Mm-hmm.
If you make less than $75,000 a year, the government's going to send you $600. If you're married and as a couple you make less than $150,000, you will get $1,200 as a couple. Now, the government is hoping that these rebates will jumpstart the economy.
Mm-hmm.
Many economists believe this is ridiculous and will never work, but it's happening.
Mm.
Now, I know you already don't love that.
No, I don't, because not only do I not get my money, I pay for your money.
Right. And now, before the IRS sends out the actual checks, they've decided to send notices to the 130 million eligible households as a heads up, just to let you know your money's on the way. Those notices will cost the government $42 million.
It's a retarded scheme. How about this? How about you just give us a break on our next three parking tickets?
That'd be nice.
Nah, I'll take that. Right. You know what I mean? Little incentives from the city.
It seems strange because you're going to get your check whether or not you get a heads up that costs us $42 million. You're still going to receive your check.
Yeah, and what do you think? The family who gets the check for $600 is going to go, honey, hey, guess what? Manna from heaven. I just opened the mail. I thought it was junk mail. Turns out there's a check for $600. Rip it up. Why? I was not prepared emotionally, financially, or fiscally, or physically for that check. Now throw it away. But, honey, it's get rid of it. But why? Because nobody warned me. Because that's what I need. If somebody hands me $20, I need somebody to come up, blow a horn, read a scroll, and explain to me someone's going to hand me $20 20 minutes from now. Yeah, like we wouldn't know what to do with it. I suppose in their defense, they thought it might get tossed or thrown away or something. But then, so what? It never gets cash and it saves me some money.
Right.
So if you're too stupid to sort your own mail and know the difference between junk mail and a real government rebate, then screw you. You don't deserve it.
Okay. Now, here's a story which crawled across the CNN crawl last night. Batman was furious. I don't know if you saw this.
Hold on a second.
Yeah?
I just had a horrible thought.
What?
How many lottery tickets do you think are going to be bought with that retard rebate? How many idiot retards are going to take that money and go out and go, this is free money.
Free money. I'll put all 600 of it into lottery tickets.
There's a huge difference between hard-earned money and free money.
Right.
And this is as free as it gets. It shows up in the mailbox of your apartment. How much of that? I would love to know the percentage of that that goes to lottery tickets. I'm guessing it will be alarmingly high.
Somewhere between 100 and 100.
Well, that certainly doesn't reinvigorate the economy when it goes right into lottery tickets.
Ah, but the schools, look how great they are.
How can they be any better?
They could not
be. What a waste.
And it could not be any better. That's why when you live in Los Angeles, the second you find out in your first trimester, you have to start looking around for private schools because
right.
your kids cannot be educated in this system. Why? Oh, who knows? I have no idea. The lottery gives so much money to the school system. They must be just a utopia of learning going on. All right. Sorry, T.
Here's another story about gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you've heard of smokers suing the tobacco companies because cigarettes gave them cancer.
Right.
There was a movement for obese people to sue fast food chains. And now this. A woman is suing a branch of casinos for getting her addicted to gambling.
Mm-hmm.
She's 37 years old. She was a lawyer in New York before she got disbarred. More on that shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Back in September of 2003, the woman named Aurelia started hitting the casinos in Atlantic City. She got so addicted to gambling that she would play table games for days without sleeping. Aurelia said that during one of her trips, she gambled for five straight days, used hand wipes to brush her teeth, and ate only one Snickers bar the whole time. She even she even stole $99,000 from her clients to play cards. She's facing criminal charges for that in a separate case.
I imagine, just imagine, that you might be able to make a case for them giving you lots of free booze when you gambled.
Yeah, I've thought about that. If you're impaired.
If they get you impaired, and if you could prove possibly that you were inebriated and that the cocktail waitress should have cut you off after your fifth, you know, screwdriver.
I think certain bartenders or bar owners are liable if they serve you and then you get in a car accident.
If you get overserved and you leave a bar, yeah, you can sue the establishment.
There's also levels of gambling addiction. Did she spend $99,000 on slot machines, or was she playing like poker?
She was at the tables. Now, she claims to have lost $1 million in gambling. She lost her apartment and she was disbarred, which means she's no longer a certified lawyer. Now she's suing the casinos for letting her gamble too much. She's not taking responsibility for her own bad judgment. Instead, she says the casinos should have stopped her from gambling. She says, quote, I would pass out at the tables. They had a duty to take care of me. Nobody in their right mind would gamble for 4 or 5 days straight without sleeping.
Well, you know, it is one of these things where I usually side with the tobacco companies or Seagrams or whoever. But if you are passed out,
maybe they should tell you, go home.
And it is classified as an addiction.
I have been at tables where people have passed out on the table and they let them keep playing. They nudged them. I was at a poker table in the Excalibur, of all places, and the guy was nodding off and sort of at the table. Time came around, you're like, sir, kind of tap him.
He was like, Norm, you got blackjack. Wake up.
He was the big winner at the table that night. I knew the gambling was not for me.
Well, it's an interesting quandary between accountability, personal accountability. If you know you're a gambling addict, you shouldn't be in a casino. On the other hand, if someone's passed out, should you deal them another hand?
Well, he was the big blind.
All right.
So, yes.
Good times.
She's suing for $20 million, by the way.
Yeah. I don't know. I hate these stories, and I want personal accountability and all that kind of stuff. On the other hand, if you're passed out and they're still dealing the cards, perhaps there's some culpability there.
Poor woman eating one Snickers and then using the baby wipes to brush her teeth.
By the way, you couldn't smuggle,
that's heroic.
Couldn't smuggle a toothbrush into the casino? They got the sundry shop right up the street by the elevator.
Yeah.
I mean, all you got to do is walk down the crazy potpourri carpet
if
and go
enough
to the elevator and get yourself one of those little travel toothbrushes. And by the way, I like that travel toothbrush. You know, the one that breaks in half and then you turn around and you stand. How small does your toiletry bag have to be that you can't accommodate a toothbrush?
I have one of those in my car right now.
A toothbrush is the size of a ballpoint pen. How much crap is in your toiletry bag, or what size is it? T's V must be bigger than your toiletry bag. Like if you're packing, like when I'm going to San Francisco for the weekend and someone says, honey, take your toothbrush. Oh, no can do. I do not have enough room in this baby for that. No, I need the one that breaks in half and feels like I'm brushing my teeth with my finger. Awesome stuff.
Not sure if that was a compliment or an insult. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser.
All right. We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, the great Oswaldo is here, everybody. He saw the number one movie. And when I say number one, I mean with a bullet. 35 million?
35.7.
35.7 million. And I'm so retarded. Whenever I see the commercials for 10,000 BC, I'm like, wait a minute. Do we have woolly mammoths and saber tooth? I thought they were dinosaur years. I didn't know they were with man, but evidently I'm just, hey, to be fair to me, I'm just a couple of billion years off.
Close.
Okay.
Yeah.
So cut me some slack. We'll take a quick break. Ozzy is here, and we'll see. We'll see if we can figure this out from Ozzy. I've seen a million commercials, ironically, for 10,000 BC. Have not heard any dialogue yet. Is it Clan of the Cave Bear? Do they talk? Or do we just get to see Daryl Hannah hump? We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with Ozzy's review next.
This is 97.1 Free HD2, The Adam Carolla Show now, and The Adam Carolla Show later, and all day. Hey, if it's Adam Carolla all day, you gotta have some crank yankers, right? Here's another great one on 97.1 Free 2 HD.
Hey, Ty.
It's a tattoo parlor, right?
Yeah.
Can I ask who I'm speaking with?
It's Greg.
What's up, Greg?
What's going on?
I want to get a tattoo for my daughter. I've got one on my arm of her, and she wants to get one of me on her arm.
How old is she?
10.
She's how old?
She's 10.
She wants to get a tattoo?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it'd be 18.
18?
Yeah.
All right, she's 18. Can I use her library card for her ID?
No. It's got to be a driver's license.
I probably can get that.
There's no way we can tattoo her, though. She's underage. She already told me she was underage.
No, she's 18. She just looks 10.
He told me she was underage before, didn't he?
What she wanted a tattoo of was SpongeBob riding a dragon at first, and I told her, no, you know, you should get a tattoo of Daddy. I was like, no.
Can you hold on 1 second?
Yeah.
Hello?
How you doing?
How you doing?
I'm good. What's your name?
Chris.
Okay, Chris. I was trying to find out some information. My daughter wants to get a tattoo.
And she's 14?
No, she's 18.
18, okay.
Yeah, she looks 10, but she's 18. She looks really young, and I was asking the other guy if it was cheaper, if, you know, because her arm is smaller, she wanted to get a tattoo of me on her arm.
I mean,
well, actually, I wanted her to get it.
It goes by time, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter how small her arm is or large.
What if you guys start doing it and she screams so loud that you can't finish it, and then, you know, is it half the price or...
Well, I mean, if she's that scared or whatever to get it, then I'd probably talk about it.
No, I mean, it's not that she's scared. I can, you know, I can bring in a Barney video or something. We can show it to her and give her a lollipop. She'll be fine.
And she's 18?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I've never had to not finish a tattoo. I mean, people have screamed. And
well, I want to make sure that when she goes to school, she has the best tattoo on the playground.
Right.
I mean, when she goes to work, she has the best tattoo at work.
Well, I mean, I do really good tattoos here. That's all I can tell you, you know. She's got picture ID?
Yeah, she's got picture ID. We got a library card and everything.
All right.
I'll be the one with the 10-year-old looking 18-year-old.
Okay.
Okay? Maybe I'll even get her out of school early.
You're coming today?
Yeah, I could come today. We can do it during recess or something.
Okay.
Do you do tattoos on dogs?
On what? No, no.
Oh, okay. Well, let me tell you this. She wants it no matter how bad she cries.
All right,
when
cool.
She comes in there. All right.
Later.
All right, thanks. Dick.
I'm Laura Silverman, and you're listening to 97.1 Free 2 HD, the FM talk station.
Keep it locked on the Adam Carolla Show to win $500, courtesy of No Country for Old Men. When a man stumbles on a pickup truck loaded with $2 million, his decision to take the money sets off a chain reaction of violence. It's out this Tuesday on DVD and Blu-ray, starring Tommy Lee Jones, Javier Bardem, and Josh Brolin. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, Ozzy, it's been a whole 14 hours since I've seen you, brother. What's going on?
Good morning, America. How are you today?
Doing good.
Good morning, and congratulations on your great reviews today in the Hollywood Reporter.
Thank you.
Ozzy, my movie got a very good review in the Hollywood Reporter today, and Ozzy was also mentioned quite favorably the review.
Yeah.
Once again, proving anyone can act, and it's very easy, and we should stop making a big deal over the folks who are at the Academy Awards and really give the accolades to the hardest job in the room, which is the guy who hosts the Academy Awards.
Now, Ozzy, who was your acting coach on The Hammer?
I think I tried to make it natural, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Ace pushed me.
Yeah. Here's how tough acting is. Act sad. Not that sad. Little less sad. No, that's too much. Now more sad.
I remember.
Okay, we're done. Next. What's the next scene? Oh, act happy. Go ahead. No, more happy. Not so happy. Okay, next. What's the next scene? Oh, just listen. Nod your head. Act like you're listening. Okay, awesome. Next.
I remember one time, you know, you talked to me, hey, Ozzy, it's too much. I paid a lot of money for this scene. You make it almost 25 times.
Yeah, 25 takes.
Oh.
Well, you know, Ozzy thinks he's on a, you know, telenovela. You know, he's wearing a big B outfit and running around. I had to tell him to reel it in a little.
At least Strasburg, where would you look at?
This one's for Gringo. All right, Ozzy, what'd you see?
10,000 BC.
Mm-hmm. 35 million.
Number one.
Tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo.
Yeah, basically tripled number two. Yeah. Crushed the competition.
The movie that I saw this weekend was 10,000 BC. The movie star Steven Strait is the lead. Camila Belle is Evolet. And Clint Curtis is Tick Tick.
Hold on.
Who, Curtis?
Let's just do that whole line one more time. Who? The whole last line.
Okay. The movie star Steven Strait.
Got
is
that.
The lead.
Right.
Camila Belle is Evolet.
Got it.
And Clint Curtis is Tick Tick.
Clip Curtis.
Clip Curtis.
Clip.
Clip.
Oh, no.
Clip.
She's Clip.
Clip.
Clip Curtis is Tick Tick.
Clip Curtis is Tick Tick.
Right.
Why do you use so many cups?
I got it.
Right?
10,000.
You make a great gynecologist. All right, go ahead.
10,000 BC is a prehistoric film about one legend hunter who is forced to follow the mysterious crew who kidnapping his friend and the girl he loved.
Mm-hmm.
It was a hamster?
So, no. Hunter. Someone was kidnapped. He was a hunter. He wasn't a legendary hamster.
Sorry.
He his wife gets kidnapped, or his girlie gets kidnapped, his friends get kidnapped, and he's got to follow the tribe.
All right.
Yep. For mm-hmm. saving.
Mm-hmm.
The Lee save the bees, and the bees offer him...
The Lee is the name of the guy.
Yeah.
And he saves a beast.
The
beast,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the bees offer him one grand favor that make him become a legend.
All right, so he saves a beast, and the beast grants him a favor.
Okay.
And by the way, you know, in movies, when you pull the thorn out of the lion's paw, the lion befriends you. In real life, it eats you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if there was a grizzly bear and the grizzly bear got its foot like caught in a log and you went up to the grizzly and went like, hey, let me get you. He'd just eat your ass.
This is Big Tiger.
Dangerous message to send to the kids, by the
way.
Right,
because it's not really true. But in this case, he gets granted.
Yeah, hey, that great white shark's caught in the reef. I'll go swim over and help him. Fantastic
this
plan.
This serial killer needs a ride.
Mm-hmm.
Pick him up.
Yep. Sorry, go ahead.
Has a lot of courage and the law of the tribu.
Huh?
I don't think I'm quite familiar with that phrase.
Delise, the name of the lead guy.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of courage.
And the law of the tribu.
He loves the what?
English, motherfucker, do you speak it?
I try.
He's got the love of what?
Tribe.
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 Tribe, right.
Tribe.
Mm-hmm.
He make a union, a put in the end the slave, and he freedom... All group.
I frees the slaves.
Yep. Free the slaves. You know, you make it the very finally, you know.
He's Harriet Tubman in a loincloth.
Yep.
Yep.
And the end of the day, 10,000 BC left this reviewer cold.
And that was Oswaldo's movie review. We hope you did not end up too confused. Oh, no, Oswaldo.
So, Ozzy, big and visual. How were the visual effects? Did it look good?
Yeah, good. This make, you know, too many special effect, you know, for the mammoth, you know, the tiger.
The woolly mammoth, saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah. Did it look like the mastodons you have in Mexico?
Not in Mexico,
no,
Nicaragua.
Nicaragua, man, come on.
Oh.
Yeah.
Open your eyes.
Racist.
His mom had a mini mastodon. That's how they used to get to school.
Yeah. Hey, Ozzy, let me ask you this. Did you used to watch Dancing with the Stars before Adam was going to be on?
Yeah, I saw a couple of times, you know, and sometimes I changed the channel, you know. I saw.
Doesn't translate well.
So now I take the third one, you know. I think I'm on my TV, I'm waiting for my friend dancing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it also.
You know, I believe, you know, him dancing. Oh, my God.
Have you seen any of this? Any rehearsal?
No,
listen, I had a scene out of a movie yesterday where I was in my den last night, and I was trying to sort of show my wife, like, what the next dance was, the merengue or the rumba or whatever the hell we're doing. And I do this, I'm barefoot, and I do this move where it's like step, kick, step. And of course, as I step back, I step on a Tinker toy, which gets lodged into my foot. And then as I do the sweep move, my foot sweeps around and I kick my daughter, who's standing there. And then I start yelling at my wife, hey, you want to give me a little heads up when the daughter's standing right behind me and I'm doing the sweep move? And she's like, I don't know what your move is. And then I tripped over Molly, and I was like, this goddamn domestic bliss is going to kill me. You have no idea. You cannot walk in my house barefoot anymore, by the way. You will step on a gummy something or some sort of, I mean, it's really these, the Vietnamese should have had this thing during the war, because this is better than any sharpened bamboo with a hippo flop on it that they ever came up with. These little tinker toys, these little figurines, these little action figures, all, when you're barefoot, it's really just like running over a spike strip.
In one move, you stepped on a tinker toy, you kicked Molly, and you kicked your daughter.
I swept my daughter by doing my back sweep move, and then as I stumbled backwards, I stepped on my dog, Molly. All right, good times. Ozzy?
Thank you.
We'll see you at the Corolla
Thanks,
House.
Ozzy.
Quick break.
I see you in Corolla House.
Back to wrap it up next.
Okey-dokey.
It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Now, here's another Adam Carolla comedy clip from Bill Burr.
You know what I love about the cubicle? I always love the pathetic attempt to try to make the cubicle like a home. You know what I mean? There's always like a stuffed animal in there, or like a picture of your mom with like her disappointed eyes looking back out at you. Like, why have you accepted this as your lot in life? Why don't you have the balls to get up and walk out of this thing? I'm telling you, those people need to be rescued. Do you ever walk by a cubicle? The person in the cubicle always looks back out at you. Because they're starved for some sort of human contact. They'll just start up a conversation like, hey, is it raining out? I haven't seen the sky in like 6 days. They don't let us look out the windows.
More Adam Carolla coming your way next on 97.1 32 HD, SoCal's high definition FM talk station.
I'm Dana Gould, and you're listening to 97.1 32 HD. The FM talk station, where the FM stands for free monkeys. Call now and get one. Actual station may not provide.
Well, just enough time to give some thanks where thanks are due. I want to thank Ralphie May.
It's a hit!
At the Grove in Anaheim, Saturday, March 22nd. Kenny Rogers, as his country folk would say, what a mensch. Guy got on the blower. We were kind of screwing around, making fun of his songs last week, and had
he
a great
a
sense
sport.
Of humor about it. And the Gatlin Brothers story was not to be missed. Also, you can go to KennyRogers.biz for show dates and tickets. Teresa Strasser, TV Water Cooler tonight, 8 p.m. on the TV Guide Network. And you can go to Free2HD at AdamCarolla.com to hear more of this show. And some crank yankers as well. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying, mahalo.
Weenus, jump cum nerd.